Members of the House, I apologize. I was tied up, well, not literally tied up, but I was. Someone was talking to me. Yeah. I could probably use that excuse more often. As I recall, we are still on second reading of bills, and we are on second reading of Senate File 140.
Senate File 140, introduced by Senator Nicholas, an act relating to hospital district trustees.
Senate File 140 has a few amendments, one rather lengthy, and I see Representative Brown anxiously running towards the podium to present the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Brown, please proceed.
Mr. Speaker, this bill was originally the product of some problems that we learned of with hospital districts that have even numbers of trustees. And we were asked, Senator Nicholas and I were asked to propose some legislation that would provide a vehicle to resolve deadlocks when there are even numbers of trustees. The bill in its original form addresses that, but the problem with the bill in its original form is that the trustees may deadlock on whether to change the number of trustees or not. So this amendment, in simple terms, is designed to force all the hospital districts into an odd number of trustees. It provides a phase-in period and forces them to either go, what I would say, go right or left, either go to five trustees or go to seven. It's their choice, but if they fail to do anything, they go to five. If they wish to go to seven, they can. But it forces them out of a deadlock into an odd number of trustees so that they can get their business done. I could expound at some length on it, Mr. Speaker, but I think that maybe I'll leave it at that explanation unless there is some question.
Okay. You might want to move the amendment.
Thank you. And with that, Mr. Speaker, I move Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 14.
And you might want to move second reading amendment.
Second reading. Boy, I'm not bad on these second reading amendments. Second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 14.
Thank you. 140.
Second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 140. It is 140.
Is there any further discussion? Yeah. Anyone else for the first time, second time? Seeing none, we're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 140. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
As opposed, say no. Amendment is adopted. Senate File 140 has been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 143.
Senate File 143, introduced by Senator Barrasso, an act relating to professions and occupations, physicians, requirement for licensure.
Senate File 143 has been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 150.
Senate File 150, introduced by Senator Burns, an act relating to the Office of the Attorney General Special Prosecution Account.
Senate File 150, and there does appear to be a second reading amendment, number 1. Mr. Speaker, pro tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 150, fearing that it's becoming dangerously low on bills that can be amended. I wanted to run this amendment. Mr. Chairman, in reading this, I didn't think that the Attorney General had enough discretion, or that it was clear enough that this was at the discretion of the Attorney General to allocate the funds for this in the special prosecution account. And on page 2, line 4, subparagraph C, this is the paragraph that this would amend. And it would read, funds in the special prosecution account shall be dispersed by, and then insert at the discretion of, or delete by, dispersed at the discretion of the Attorney General only after, not upon, written request of a prosecuting attorney. And it appears as though that's the intent of the paragraph, that the AG has the discretion to do that. But, however, it also looks like it's mandatory, too, when it says it shall be dispersed. But the rest of the bill certainly makes it clear that there are certain requirements that need to be met, and the AG has rule and regulation writing authority to cover these funds. So I think this is an appropriate amendment.
Is there any further discussion? Anyone for their second time, first time? Seeing none, we're voting on second reading amendment number one to Senate File 150. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, please say no. Amendment is adopted. Senate File 150 having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 159.
Senate File 159 introduced by Senator Boggs, an act relating to the National Guard Youth Challenge Program.
Senate File 159 does have a second reading amendment. Second reading amendment number one, Representative Warren.
Mr. Speaker, I move second reading amendment number one to Senate File 159. This amendment, basically, we discussed in the committee when we were reviewing this request for funding that there was no report attached to it. And this funding is going to be attached to potentially training 200 young people. Yet there was no way to know if those kids were really going to be trained and how the money was going to be allocated. So this is just basically asking that the military department require a report back to appropriations and education interim. Three things, the yearly enrollment, the number of successful completions, and then an annual detailed listing of how the budget was expended. Another piece of this that's important for us to know what this feedback is if they don't get the certain number of kids, it can potentially jeopardize the funding, but that's kind of a long-term perspective. This way we'll know what's going on and be able to assess the program. Appreciate your support.
Representative Patterson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendment, this is a very friendly amendment. All of this information already has to be prepared for the feds for their portion of the 60% of the funds, and so it would be very easy for them to forward it on to us. On for the amendment.
Is there any other discussion? Seeing none. Question being called. All those in favor of second reading amendment number one to House Bill 159, please say aye. Those opposed, please say no. Amendment is adopted. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 172.
Senate File 172 introduced by the Appropriations Committee, an act relating to the GAAP accounting.
Senate File 172 has been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Did I not do that? Senate File 159 have been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? The question is, hearing no objection, is so ordered. We're now in that order of business of adoption of joint conference committee reports, and we do have the budget conference report available now. Chairman Phil.
Mr. Speaker, I move adoption of the Joint Conference Committee report on Senate File 1 and would ask for your aye vote. And before we get to that, Mr. Speaker, I'd like to do a little bit of explanation here. On your desk, you should have a cheat sheet that looks like that. Your conference committee report that looks like that. Your goldenrod, the chart of our what we did on the savings should look like that. And there's a couple of handouts from Representative Warren that we'll get to in short order. Mr. Speaker, we spent quite a bit of time with the Senate on this, and it was, I think, as good a deal as we can come up with. To start off with, Mr. Speaker, I will start on the cheat sheet, and if you look at the top of that page and you see the column that says action and it says AH, 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 that means adopted the House amendment. on those identical amendments, we have to delete one and adopt the other. So the motion was to adopt the House amendments and delete the Senate amendments. Mr. Speaker, in those, actually the most significant one in there was the $2,200,000 to the community colleges. That was an increase that we did when we went through the budget, and it was an identical amendment with the Senate. Actually, that was the most significant one we went through there. And unless you have questions on any of them, I won't go through all of those in the interest of time, Mr. Speaker. Then you get down to the part where it says amendments to Section 2, regular funding. We have House 3005A, and you'll see in the action column we adopted that. And it added language to the retiree health insurance study to include looking at sick leave to the health insurance benefits conversion plan. And on this issue, on retiree health insurance, we did not fund that, and we'll get down to that. But there was a lot of discussion on that issue. And there was a concurrence on both sides that we need to study this in the interim and resolve that issue. And I have had a lot of direction from Mr. Speaker on that issue, too, that we need to deal with that issue. Okay, going on, Senate 2021 added funding in a footnote to expend $10,000 general fund for contracting with an actuary to study potential law enforcement retirement system changes and additions. And that's how to try and get a picture of how many more different people in law enforcement might be moved to that account, to that enforcement retirement account, and just what kind of impact that would have. And we keep getting additional people wanting into that law enforcement retirement account. There's quite a few out there that want in that. This S3006A, that added $400,000 general fund for a death benefit for guardsmen killed in a war zone and allows for 4 payments of up to $100,000 per casualty. Mr. Speaker, S-3015, that added $32,100 general fund and a footnote to the AG's office for domestic violence shelters. S-2004 added a footnote to the Department of Audit for educational services audit at the Wyoming Girls School. Now, here's S-3017A, that was deleted. That added a fifth footnote and $30,000 general fund from family services budget, workforce services budget to the Department of Employment budget. And the Senate said that they had to reconsider and they didn't need that amendment. We adopted House 2011A. It reduced game and fish vet services by $180,000 general fund and 5 full-time positions. And someone had talked to game and fish and they thought they would get along all right without that. Okay, the next series of amendments there deals with the 5 additional state troopers. And we deleted the Senate, the House amendments, and adopted the Senate amendments. It added the $600,000 general fund and 5 full-time positions, and the funding source was changed from general fund to special revenue, which would be highway funds. Senate 2003, we adopted that, added a footnote to the Department of Transportation Administration Program for analysis of revenue and expenditures associated with license plate sales. The next one was we deleted a Senate amendment that added a footnote requiring Department of Health to maintain and periodically update the database of physicians engaged in active practice in the state. We deleted that, and then we adopted a similar footnote that the House had. The House one had a little bit better language. We adopted House 2004A. It added a footnote that required Department of Health to use $10,000 existing general fund monies to purchase educational cancer screening materials and provide them to medical providers. The S3023A, that deleted that funding for the matching monies in Sweetwater County for developmental disabilities. And the senator that was on the committee from Sweetwater County had heard from the county and we didn't really need that. And the next one, Senate 3024A, it added $259,584 general fund and the federal money for a living waiver increase of 25 persons. We amended that, and then we changed the amount. And you see the amount in bold there where we further amended in the bill. And that one would show up, you'll see that on page 3 of the conference committee report. Going to the next page, S3012, we adopted that. It eliminated the governor's rec for $2 million plus tobacco funding for the Tobacco Cessation and the TANF Community Partnerships Initiative. And there was some concern that it wasn't real clear what that money was going to be spent, how it was going to be spent, and it was going out to the communities, but there was a lot of concern about what exactly that money was going to be used for. Senate 2029A added $250,000 general fund in the footnote for LPN outreach program coordinators. And that's at the various outlying communities from the community colleges. And it's to provide for licensed practical nursing. House 3001A, we deleted that. And then the further amended. And what that did was changed the amount that the SNP board can invest in. That this has to do with land exchanges, and if you remember in the House we passed an amendment that said they could do it, use $8 million to do that with, and we changed that back to $4 million, and that is in your conference committee report on page 3, starting there, where it talks about page 32. Oh, I'm sorry. Starting on page 32 after line 31. House Committee of the Whole number 1. That added $179,000 general fund to the Office of State Land and Investments for Weed Control. And we reduced that to further amended and reduced that to $80,000 general fund, and And that was after some talk with the staff from the State Land and Investments that were familiar with that issue. And they said that would be sufficient. S-3010, that added $149,000 general fund for faculty and resident compensation funding and a footnote for the family practice centers. S-2009 added $3,600 budget reserve account to the tourism budget for reimbursement of the Wyoming All-State Marching Band. And we adopted that. S-205A and House 15A added $300,000 to the Governor's Mansion Rehab Project. The House amendment included a change to the footnote in this appropriation. And on that one, you'll see that we deleted the Senate amendment and accepted the House amendment, as it has a little bit better language. Senate 3027A added $2.7 million to the school capital construction account for funding the Recluse Capital Construction Project, and that was cut out by the JAC. And upon receiving further information, we reconsidered that. Senate 2022 added a footnote to the Section 3 portion of the university's budget to evaluate and report on the need for a parking structure. So that's it. And now Representative Simpson will explain the Section 300 amendments.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, on the concurrence on the conference committee report on page 3, if you want to, the conference report beginning on page 3, you'll see, looks like one run-on amendment, and that's actually what it is, because this is an amendment to the entire budget bill. And we've already discussed most all of them on page 3, but at the bottom of page 3, beginning page 47, lines 11 through 13. This is where we begin the budget balancers, which are the Section 300s. And that's the $937 million. This is what takes us to $10 million balance in the general fund, which is what we're required to. We sweep the general fund and put the money into the budget reserve account. And then going over to page 4 of the bill, that continues. That budget balancer. The amendments on the cheat sheet show, beginning with H second reading amendment 23 and House third reading number 12 and Senate third reading number 8, those were all dealing with the same issues of the coal lease bonus transfers. And the DFA means we deleted and further amended those, and that's on page 4 of the report, pages 49, line 5 through page 49, line 8. And the best thing to do to understand this one is to look at your profiled and unprofiled flows sheet, what I'm calling the spider sheet or the spider web sheet, just the one page that shows it's the flow chart, really. And we're talking about the JCC01, the Conference Committee 1, profiled and unprofiled flows. And what we did in this amendment was we were dealing at this time with the unprofiled flows, which are the coal lease bonus monies. And what we agreed to here, you'll see that you'll see there are two lines of $136 million for a total of $272 million. Now, $136 million goes to the budget reserve account, and then the $53.1 million flows down to the PMTF, and it does that above on the profiled flows, too. So that's actually where that comes from. That is profiled money. It's just an appropriation from the budget reserve account. And then on the downward side there, the $136 million into the legislative special reserve account. Now, you see $85 million in that account. That is because we agreed to a cap on that figure, and anything over that cap of $85 million would then pour into the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund, and that's estimated to be $51 million. And that's what you see on the conference report, the language at page 49, lines 8. It talks about the $85 million, and those are the COLI's bonus transfers in the cap. So of the unprofiled flows, the House was able to secure, of those COLI's bonus monies, $51 million into the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund. And that's in addition to the $146.9 million that went in of the profiled flows. So the total PMTF is $197.9 million. That's the profiled and unprofiled flows. And then the remainder, what is left in the budget reserve account, is about $83 million, $82.9 million in budget reserve, and then the $85 million in the legislative special reserve account. So we have permanent and intermediate savings of approximately $350 million. And on the profiled flows, the $53.1 million from the budget reserve account to the PMTF goes in two separate payments of $26,555,000 at the end of June of 05 and June of 06. And as what we did last year was we put in $25 million at the end of those 2 years also. So we will be flowing to the PMTF $51.5 million a year for the next 2 years of the profiled flows. The next amendment on the cheat sheet is Senate Third Reading Amendment 11. It was a cleanup amendment. The next one, House Second Reading Amendment number 18, that we deleted and further amended. And Representative Warren, did you want to address the issue here of K-12 employee monies?
Mr. Speaker? I'll try to explain kind of a little bit of the history of this funding and then how we came up with the number that we came up with. Originally, way back before the session started, there was a proposal for $5,000 per salaried teacher. And so that came out to like $45 million. And that money came forward, and we looked at it in various committees, and some of you have seen it. And we wound up reducing that somewhat because there was a decision that some funding was going to go into the health insurance. And that was kind of like an additional salary, but it's not real clear that those two are exactly the same. But the House appropriation came to a decision of having it be $28 million, which is basically about $2,000 per employee in the school district. And there are about 14,000 employees in the school districts. And this would include all your employees, your certified staff and everything. So that $28 million we took into the conference committee. And so the Senate, who did not have any funding in there, that was a decision we needed to kind of come to a consensus on. And what we came to, the consensus was $22 million, approximately $22 million. Now, how that's allocated, in the little handout that you have, and again, this is just about the, quote, bonuses. It's one-year funding. And if you think of having the $22 million, there are 14,000 employees. So it actually comes to approximately $1,600 an employee in the state who work in the school district. So that comes to the $22 million. But how that is allocated is not by employee. How it is allocated, that amount of money, that $22 million that comes from that equation of 14,000 staff times $1,600, how that's going to be allocated is by the number of students in the school, the ADM. So as you look at your other handouts, you'll see how your districts are funded, and it may be a little confusing because it's not an exact, every employee gets $1,600. It kind of goes in a circle a little bit, but you have that total amount of $22 million divided by the number of students that your school has. So I hope that will explain it a little bit. What I think is important when you go back and explain this is just one-year funding, and at the recalibration that we will be going through next year, we'll be determining what really is fair and needed funding, and they're going to look at the whole model as opposed to having this built into that. So if there are any questions, I'll try to answer them, and I hope that clarifies this.
Mr. Speaker, continuing on with the Section 300s, the next two you see were deleted, H second reading 24 and third reading 13. These were the retiree health insurance benefits of $200 a month that we then amended down to $200 a month for 20 years of service to qualify. There was, I would say, no support on the Senate for the House positions. There was discussion about reports that had come to the Appropriations Committee by the former Senate Appropriations Chair. The continuing concerns that we would only be helping one particular segment of our society here, and that there are others in the private sector who are having much the same problem. Good House Appropriations Chairman discussed the directions he has received concerning retiree health insurance study and the health insurance benefits conversion plan. So really seeing that there were absolutely no votes in the Senate, there wasn't a great deal of point sitting around for days trying to influence a position on that when it was clear that we were not going to achieve a Senate position on that. The next three amendments, Committee of the Whole 18, second reading 26, and third reading 8, all concern the what was our House Bill 5. And you see that we did adopt $6.1 million for county roads, $15.325 million for cities and towns, $11.975 million for counties. And those three of are the exact same figures that came out of off of this House floor for those three. So we held those positions. On the multi-lane, on the highways, we actually had, I think, $11.1 million in there for highways. We had a great deal of pressure to not hold those. And what we were able to do was hold 4.1 of those and direct it specifically to the multi-lane highways because we knew that that was a strong position of this floor. And that goes in along with the $7 million that we already had appropriated through one of the House bills. So there would be a total of 11.1 going directly to multi-lane highways. And not, and if you may remember, in House Bill 5, our appropriation was to the highway fund, and that was not specific enough. Now it goes directly to multi-lane highways. We did lose the amendment of, I think it was $2.6 million for the slip board impact for mineral development. And we took off the appropriation to the Water 3 Fund when it became clear that there was an excess of $60 million going into the Water 3 account otherwise. We viewed this as an area where we could reduce that appropriation substantially. And that's where we came out. It's a total of $37.5 million. We went in there looking for $58 million for all of those projects. The next amendment, we adopted the House Committee of the Whole Amendment 16, which added $400,000 from the School Foundation Program to the Department of Education for teacher recruiting assistance, otherwise known as the Semlick Amendment. Next amendment, Senate second reading 13, added a new section 333 and $35,000 general fund funding for a fire training study. The next amendment on page 3 of the cheat sheet This added the language and 5,000 budget reserve account funding for the University Energy Institute plan. We adopted that Senate amendment. The next one, there was a Senate and a House amendment. We adopted the Senate amendment on the 600,000 school foundation program for the WICHE, for the National American Indian and Others Development Center. And then we adopted the Senate amendment that simply modified that a little bit. Then on the next two amendments, Senate Third Reading 14 and House Committee of the Whole 4, this was on the Rollins Prison Restoration and Irrigation System. We deleted and further amended and kind of adopted a middle ground more towards the House side, though, where we appropriated 170 general fund for the prison, 117 for irrigation, and 53,000 for plaster repairs. And then the last amendment, Senate Third Reading 28, we delete and further amend. There was a great deal of money in the tail coverage loan program appropriation reduction account which had not been appropriated or spent, and we deappropriated 11.7 million of that, and that was a unanimous agreement of the both sides of the conference. So those are the Section 300 budget balances.
So general discussion. The general rules apply. Each can speak twice. Questions. Representative Walsh.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. A question for the gentleman from the Marathon Building, the owner of the Marathon Building rule. If you would go back early in the 300. You had the JCCO1 profile and unprofiled spider web. I have a question on the spider web. The bottom box, the bottom right-hand box, there's a cap and sin there on that bottom right, the LSRA of $85 million. And then I see the flow from whence it comes, but I guess I'm wondering specifically what's the reason of the genesis of the flow in terms of $51 million going from east to west there? Why is that $51 million, if you would? Thank you.
Mr. Speaker, maybe we could clarify. Does your chart show on the profiled and unprofiled on the bottom half going from coal lease bonus, does it show $85 million or 136? It should show 136. If you have 85, it's the wrong chart. Okay, so if it's 136 going down into the legislative special reserve account, then when you hit the cap of 85, it then flows the other $51 million to the PMTF and leaves 85 in the LSRA. Mr. Speaker, the one that says 85 million going south from the coal lease bonus to the LSRA is wrong. It's $136 million. We split those equally. The Senate came in with a compromise late Friday night and said, okay, we'll take half of the money. We'll take $136 million and put it to the budget reserve account. And then we'll take the other half and put it into the LSRA. But we'll cap it and let you have over the cap into the PMTF.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, pro tem for clarifying which chart. Chairman Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Back on the first page, page one of whatever we're calling this, cheat sheet, I guess, I was under the impression that the $400,000 that we were going to do a death benefit payment for guardsmen was deleted by this body. And we discussed the fact that how are you going to distribute that? There have, in fact, at my latest count, there have been 6 deaths from the state of Wyoming in the current war, and so that was why we said, hey, this is way more than the average death benefit paid to even regular armed forces. So this question is, how'd that get back in there?
Mr. Chairman, do you want to answer that? Chairman Hill.
And you know, we talked about that for a long time, and finally, I think the Senate's position was that these are people that are serving the state of Wyoming, and therefore the state had more responsibility for them than they get for the other services. But the National Guard is more directly related to the state of Wyoming. And we did raise those kinds of questions. But that was where it came out.
Chairman Edwards.
Mr. Speaker, I don't see how that answers my question. How are you planning to distribute this $400,000 to, are you just saying you're going to pick the first four deaths, or are you going to pick, how are you going to do that? There have, in fact, up to now, been six deaths by members of the National Guard in the state of Wyoming.
Well, I think...
Mr. Speaker, I think
that we will do this going forward. Retroactively, the way I am.
Chairman Edwards, follow up.
Mr. Speaker, that sets a horrible precedent to just do, like you said, we've got to somehow fix this so it's equitable, and that it's either going to be continuing or, I mean, this is just wrong.
Any other questions? Chairman Elloway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have two questions. Then, on page two, if I understand right, instead of the $28,420,000 that was going to go to K through 12 plus the other employees, it's now down to $22,736, and that goes to everybody within the district, all K through 12, teachers, custodians, all employees. Is that correct?
Representative Harshman?
Mr. Speaker, I was going to speak on another issue, but I can answer that, I believe. The initial amendment talked about an FTE distribution statewide. The attorneys thought there was a constitutional question of that, so the distribution is by ADM. Now, with that said, it goes to the school district, still in a block grant, and that level is approximately $1,600 per education employee. It is still a block grant. I mean, the school district could still, it has to be spent on salaries, but they could decide to give more to the custodians and bus drivers if they'd like. And so, and some districts have a market analysis and where they show those folks are, you know, pretty underpaid, they might try to throw more money at those classified folks as a bonus to get their salaries up. I answered that.
Members of the House, I will, if we're dealing with just questions and answers, I will allow more than one time speaking. Chairman Phil.
And Mr. Speaker, if you look on page 7 of the conference committee report, you'll see that language there start on page 7 and going on over to page 8 that explains that.
Chairman Elloway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have one additional question, and Mr. Speaker, the good chairman from the Appropriations Committee touched on it, but I'd like to pursue it just a smidge. And I want to preface my remarks by saying that last year I was on the Joint Conference. I know how it can be. I also understand the position of the other body down the hall. I may not agree with it, but I do appreciate what this committee has done. But I'd like a little further discussion, Mr. Speaker, on the retiree health insurance. We've been playing with this thing for a number of years. And each year we put in a bill, and each year it ends up on the in the budget, and each year it gets taken out, and each year we're promised we're going to have a study. And each year we end up with, for retirees, nothing. And quite frankly, it's getting, that's not right. In at least in my district, I have a lot of retired state employees. And each year I try to tell them we're working on it. Now, last year we were promised that we were going to have a study. Or maybe it was 2 years ago. I'm losing track. But quite frankly, I haven't seen anything, and I think that is unconscionable that if we say we're going to do something, then we ought to do it. And it's about time that we really got down to it and said either we're going to help them or we're not. We're not going to have a study. We're not going to do anything, or we are. And I understand how difficult it is with the body down the hall if they want to dig in their heels and they'll do something, I understand. We could sit there for the next month and they wouldn't give. So I'm not asking that. What I'm asking is that if we're going to say we're going to do a study, then I would hope that there is a study by this fall so that we know where we're going and what we can tell these people.
Chairman Phelps.
Mr. Speaker. Well, and I can understand the frustration of the good representative from Laramie County. And, but I will remind you that JAC, during the interim, we did look at this, and you know, maybe we didn't give it as much attention. Well, we didn't give it as much attention as we should have. But then when it came time to do something about it, when we looked in the budget, the governor had in the budget an actuarial study, which actually had never been done on retired state employee health insurance. So the JAC did recommend that for that study and provided the funding for the study, for the actuarial study. And that needs to go forward. And that will go forward because it's in the budget and the executive branch has agreed to it and they're going to do it. And that the Senate co-chair and I both agree that we want to submit that to management council as an interim study topic. And we have agreed that it needs to be given a high priority. But in the budget session, the governor did not recommend that we fund it. He just recommended that we do an actuarial study. And I think we need to make an informed decision. And I hope that during the interim that the proponents of this will stay engaged and stay involved in this as the Appropriations Committee works on that. If it's assigned to us by Management Council, I think it will be. But if it's assigned to us, we will work on it.
Representative Warren.
Mr. Speaker, a couple of added pieces to that. This wasn't an easy decision, and it wasn't just a decision we quickly went over. We talked about it. We even had an amendment to look at $100 a month for the employees for one-year funding, just to do something. And that didn't even seem right, because what we're doing is we're targeting a group of employees who are retired, who do need assistance, who have a whole span of income differentials. So to whom do we give this funding? Do we make it need-based? Do we make it years of employees? What about your 19-year employees or your 18-year employees? So we didn't include them. And it was a decision that we made, I think, in the House that said, we're going to do something. And that funding that we allocated, although it got removed in Appropriations Conference, said, this is a high priority. This is not going to leave the radar screen again. And so I don't think our efforts were invalidated by this decision as far as the commitment and the follow-through with the study. The study then can give us a number of things. It can give us, what do we do now with our current retired employees? Also, what can we do in the future? Do we want to start helping employees who are currently working to learn to put savings account aside for their retirees? What can the state do short-term and long-term? Let's look at this whole problem and really come up with a comprehensive plan that is fair, that might be need-based, and that also is meeting the needs of health coverage costs for the retired people. So I think we didn't lose effort in the House by our vote to support that. And I think we're going to be seeing some real good data coming back to make a decision next year that can really solve this problem, or at least begin to address this problem.
Representative McComey.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I believe the money was in the governor's budget for A&I for the study. And I truly believe that we'll get the study. And I hope we stay involved with it, as the good chairman of the Appropriations stated. The people that I had asked to monitor what was going on in that room were very, very pleased with the discussion that they'd heard about the study. I'm, for one, you know, I'm kind of heartbroken. Most people don't understand where I come from. Fremont County has the second largest number of state employees in Wyoming. I think if things haven't changed in the last 4 or 5 months, the last information I had, Lander, as a city, has the second highest number of state employees. So this is my constituency. And that's why I carry this bill, and that's why I understand quite a bit about it and some of the passions that people have for it. But I'm pleased that we're going to study it. I'm pleased that the people that were at the meeting monitoring what was going on came back and spoke to me about it. While they were disappointed that we're going this 18-month period of trying to help some of these people isn't going to be made available, the positive feedback I got made me feel much better about what happened. So I think that we've reached the point now where we're really going to find out. I have to tell this body, if you reach out to everybody, you're looking at a lot of money. And I think this should be funded through the retirement system now, as was proposed back in the Herschler administration. And for some reason, it didn't happen. 1% increase in the contribution would have funded this right now. But hindsight is a wonderful thing. And I applaud the efforts on the part of the House members to keep this issue out there in this committee, because there was absolutely no sentiment in the Senate for this bill or this proposal. So thank you, Appropriations Committee.
Roseanne Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
You may.
Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to introduce my daughter, Liz Bodily, and my granddaughter, Tori Bodily, and their friend, Brayden Williamson from Casper. They're down for the day.
Welcome to the House, Representative Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I might also expand just a little bit on this study while we're on this subject. The discussion did come up, too, since Senate File 47, I believe it is going to send, what, roughly $33 million to the school districts to assist in the health insurance for the school teachers and so on. The desire of the committee is, when the request is made to Management Council, is to be able to expand that study to see what effect that additional population coming into this program is. So if everything comes out right, it will be greatly expanded to cover also the education field there. Thank you.
Mr. Minority Leader.
Mr. Chairman, or Mr. Speaker, excuse me. I just wanted to echo what some of the previous speakers had said, that I was disappointed that study didn't take place this year. But as you talk to your constituents, there's one thing that you need to remind them about. There were a lot of things didn't happen this year. Beginning in May, there were two committees that met all over the state every week. LSO was involved totally all summer long with a special session that we had in July. That took up all summer. That was the time we normally do this kind of interim work, in the spring, the summer, into the fall. A lot of things did not get done this summer because of that special session. After the session was over, we rolled into an election year, and it wasn't until after the election was over in November that really a lot of the interim work started getting moving. So what we saw this year was a very unusual session. A lot of the things that we said we wanted to do, we didn't get done. A lot of the interim work that we said we were going to do was incomplete. You've seen it in a number of bills that you've stood up on the floor this year and said, you know, this is a good idea, but it's not totally formed. I think it needs a little more work. It's because of the special session. And that's something everybody needs to realize. That took up a lot of time this year. We had a lot of bills that weren't properly formed. We had a lot of studies that weren't done. LSO was busy on other things. Hopefully we don't run into this again, but it's something you can take back, talk to your constituents about. It's not an excuse. It should have happened, but it's a reason. And it's something for you to remember in the future, too. When you think about a special session in the future, understand that special session is going to impact future sessions of the legislature that are normally scheduled.
Members of the House, I would like to, if there are any more questions about the budget, I'd like to get those out of the way and then, you know, either move forward, or we are going to move forward with it. So any more questions in particular? Representative Buchanan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
This is just a general question in regards to the per ADM money given to the districts in block grant form. I noticed that the language here is to augment district retention and recruiting efforts for 05 and 06. And I guess my concern is when we talk about recruiting, I think that's another way that districts could water down this pay raise for existing district employees. And the reason I bring it up is if you go to page 2 of the cheat sheet, we've got $400,000 from the school foundation program for the Department of Ed for teacher recruiting assistance that can be used for recruiting purposes. So if somebody from the committee could address that issue, I'm just concerned that it's going to water it down. And I know that in the budget it says it's not the intent that this additional payment enhance district employees, the number of district employees, yet we've already got almost $500,000 in the budget for recruiting already.
Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Very good question, my good friend from the Rolling Hills. I won't say the town, but anyway, good question, and I had some problem with that language as well, and I guess you can come full circle on it. Me and the good representative from Park debated this as well. I think it's pretty clear what legislative intent is, though. And that's why I said, why couldn't somebody hire a new superintendent, give the entire bonus to their superintendent to bring him in from somewhere? But if you look on your amendments on page 8, halfway down through that, it says that they have to, your districts have to report, clearly reporting and in detail the amount awarded to each employee and the purpose. And so the intent really is a bonus type thing. And very good question on there is that $400,000 for the amendment that was successful, where districts will be able to grant maybe a moving bonus or a signing bonus to get those hard to recruit positions to their school district. So I hope that answers that. Mr. Speaker, could I just speak on the 4x10 plan for about 30 seconds?
Certainly. I'm going to write your name down, though.
Okay. I'll be brief. I just wanted the body to be aware that we're going to leave here this week with about $250 million in our bank account for next year. I mean, once the cold bid bonus monies come in, there'll be $250 million in budget reserve general fund. And if you count the $85 million in this LSRA, it's really $335 million that will be carryover money. So when you come back next year and they talk about $1 billion budget surplus, you know, $335 million of that is going to be what we kept in the bank this year. Secondly, I'd just point out that the deposits in the permanent mineral trust fund will be $197.9 million, just about $200 million, right where we need to be. So we're right on track. I would tell you that's double of what the legislature has ever done. The most previously that was in 2001 with $100 million appropriation. And then since we passed and the governor signed Senate File 25, which will put that extra percent in, which will be $93 to $100 million each year, our Appropriations Committee only needs to save $100 million a year now instead of $200. So just save $100 million a year out of next year's budget. And, of course, we'll probably have to get it to $300 to bargain down with the Senate to keep it $200. But we're right on track to really growing our fund and building a better Wyoming. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. We're on general discussion of the conference report. General discussion. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't pass the supplemental budget here on concurrence request, it would then go back to a free committee, and there's no telling what happens in a free committee. We fought long and hard for some of the positions we were able to achieve for the House here, and no one likes everything in any budget. There are always problems. There are always particular issues that really rankle people. But look at it with a broad view as to what it does. At times during these negotiations, you have to give on things you don't want to give on. And you have to accept positions that maybe your House or your Senate floor has not accepted. But you know that at that time and in this budget, it's an appropriate thing to do. And that's what occurred on some of these items on both sides. You know, we spent 3 days on a couple items, going into it, talking about it, leaving it alone, coming back, doing that three times. And there's usually a strong feeling on one side to get an amendment on, and that's typically what drives these things. This is a good supplemental budget. It spreads money around in cities, towns, and counties, education, and other areas. And we would appreciate your aye vote on the concurrence.
General discussion. Chairman Hageman.
Well, Mr. Speaker, on page 2 of this long one here, it said that appropriated for weed control from 179,000 down to 80,000, and I guess that's all right because it's for 1 year, but is there any way that this can be put in the continuing budget? They brought that to us and said it was something that they hadn't put in their continuing budget. And is there some way that next year we know that it will be in the budget, or is it something we're going to have to watch for?
Chairman Phillip, I'll let you answer that question.
Yeah, and Mr. Speaker, it could be if they requested it. It did come forward as a request from the State Land Board, but it could be put in as if they requested it, just like any other budget request.
Chairman Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I did talk to State Land and the State Land Board on this, and they have assured me that they'll work on that when they turn in the governor's bill next year, the governor's budget.
Thank you, Chairman Osborne. Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You've given others a little latitude on discussion. We have some significant income coming from the coal bonus lease bids. And the way that works is once bids are accepted, you get a quarterly payment and then the annual payments thereafter for about 5 years. I think it's nice that everybody have this in mind. This was an exceptional year on coal lease bid bonuses. We had 6 of them. The next couple will be in 2007 and there will be lesser value coal. So that stream of funds is not what we've seen this year going forward. Just sort of a heads up as we think about budgets and budget futures. And I just took this opportunity to make that comment.
Thank you, Chairman Lockhart. General discussion. Chairman Phil.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I would urge you to vote for this conference committee report. And one more thing I'd like to point out to you in your goldenrod there. You'll see that we will have, and look at the far right column under, and you'll look at the general fund DRA balance right here. Look clear across the page, and that's the balance that we'll have with this budget, and it's $131 million. We're required to have about $75 million, so we have a pretty good cushion there. Then if you turn the page, look at that list of bills there and all of the things that are being done for the state. All the issues we're addressing. Transportation, air services, public transport, medical review panel, methamphetamines, mental health, community facilities, the higher education endowments account and scholarship. All of those things are provided for by this budget. I think you ought to think about that, and Mr. Chairman, it is a compromise with the Senate, and it's not perfect, but I urge you to support it, and it's good for the wonderful state of Wyoming, and as we head home from the session, I think we can be proud of what we have done and confident that we're providing for a wonderful future. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Anyone else? Before? Well, we might as well do it. I would like to thank the conference committee for their hard work on this and the appropriations committee as well beforehand. So thank you very much. Is there any further discussion? We are voting on whether to adopt Joint Conference Committee number 1 to Senate File 1, which is the supplemental budget. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden.
Anderson, Bagby, Barner, Berger, Wetzel, Brown, Buchanan, Uholt, Childers, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, Davison, Dirks, Edwards, Esquivel, Gay, Gilmore, Dingery, Bobos, Hageman, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Hastert, Hinckley, Eichel, Illaway, Jackson, Jones, Jorgensen excused, Landon, Latta, Lockhart, Ludnow, Martin, McComey, Miley, Miller, Morgan, Olson, Osborne, Pedersen, Peterson, Filt, Powers, Forberg, Mr. Minority Floor Leader, Robinson, Samuelson, Semlett, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Slater, Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Wasserberger, Watt, White, Swanitzer, Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Dirks excused.
Excuse.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? Vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to adopt the Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to Senate File 1. And again, thank you, members of the Appropriations Committee and the Conference Committee. Let's give them a round of applause. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, we're now in that order of business of bills on reading and third reading and final passage consent list.
Mr. Speaker, I move the following bills to a consent list for third reading and final passage, consisting of Senate File 19, Senate File 24, Senate File 58, Senate File 65, Senate File 119, and Senate File 154.
Does anyone desire to remove any of these bills from the consent list? Seeing none, the reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 19, introduced by the Agriculture Committee, an act relating to public lands, state lands, trust responsibilities, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 24, introduced by Senator Massey, an act relating to school finance, special education equipment, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 58, introduced by the Judiciary, an act relating to prison industries program compensation, being enacted by the Legislature of the State of Wyoming. Senate File 65, introduced by Senator Meyer, an act relating to Alzheimer's disease study, being enacted by the Legislature of the State of Wyoming. Senate File Number 119, introduced by Senator Larson, an act relating to the legislature regarding state mileage rate, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File Number 154, introduced by Senator Massey, an act relating to podiatrists, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Having read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? The Assistant Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden, Anderson, Bagby, Barner, Berger, Brechtel, Brown, Buchanan, Uholt, Childers, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, Davison, Dirks excused, Edwards, Esquivel, Gay, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hageman, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Pastor, Hinckley, Eichel, Illaway, Jackson, Jones, Jorgensen excused, Landon, Latta, Lockhart, Ludnow, Martin, Nicomi, Miley, Miller, Morgan, Olson, Osborne, Pedersen, Peterson, Philp, Powers, Forberg, Mr. Minority Floor Leader, Robinson, Samuelson, Semlett, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Slater, Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Wasserberger, Watt, White, Zwanitzer, Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 aye, 2 excused. As to Senate File 19, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 aye, 2 excused. As to Senate File 24, are there any changes? Are there any changes? Vote is closed. 58 aye, 2 excused. As to Senate File 58, are there any changes? Are there any changes? Vote is closed. 58 aye, 2 excused. As to Senate File 65, are there any changes? Buchholz, aye to no. Anderson, aye to no. Miley, aye to no. Forberg, aye to no. Miller, aye to no. Pope, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, aye to no. Harshman, aye to no. Jones, aye to no. Semlick, aye to no. Samuelson, aye to no. Brown, aye to no. Are there any other changes? Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 47 aye, 11 no, 2 excused. As to Senate File 119, are there any changes? Are there any changes? Vote is closed. 58 aye, 2 excused. As to Senate File 154, are there any changes? Lockhart, aye to no. Are there any Harshman? Aye to no. Are there any other changes? Vote is closed. 56 aye, 2 no, 2 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of those elected to the House, Senate Files 19, 24, 58, 65, 119, and 154 have passed the House. Messages from the Senate.
Message number 436, Mr. Speaker, Senate File 1, General Government Appropriations. The Senate adopted the Joint Conference Committee Number 1 report on the bill listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 28, noes 2. Signed, Diane Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 437, Mr. Speaker, the Senate did concur on House amendments to the bills listed below by the vote indicated. Senate File 99, Nursing Loan Program Amendments. Ayes 30, noes 0. Signed, Diane Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 438. Mr. Speaker, Senate File 14, Graduated Driver's License. The Senate adopted the Joint Conference Committee Number 1 report on the bill listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 30, no 0. Signed, Diane Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 439. Mr. Speaker, House Bill 165, Open Meeting Laws. The Senate adopted the Joint Conference Committee Number 1 report on the bill listed above by the vote indicated. Aye 17, noes 13. Signed, Diane Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk.
Thank you, Mr. Reading Clerk. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the House of Representatives override the Governor's veto of House and Roll Act No. 60, being original House Bill 291. The override requires a two-thirds majority.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. The discussion would be under our regular rules. It is debatable, but the rules state you debate whether or not the House should override. General discussion. Seeing none,
Question being called. The question is, the motion is to override the governor's veto. If you vote aye, you vote to override the veto on House Enrolled Act number 60, being original House Bill number 291. The override requires a two-thirds majority of the members elected. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Anderson. Bagby. Barnard. Berger. Brestel. Brestel. Brown. Buchanan. Buell. Childers. Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Davison. Dirks excused. Edwards. Esquivel. Gay. Gilmore. Gingery. Goggles. Hageman. Hammonds. Harshman. Harvey. Hastert. Hinckley. Eichel. Illaway. Jackson. Jones. Jorgensen excused. Landon. Latta. Latta. Lockhart. Lubno. Martin. McComey. Miley. Miller. Morgan. Olson. Osborne. Peterson. Peterson. Philp. Powers. Forberg. Mr. Minority Floor Leader. Robinson. Samuelson. Simlett. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Slater. Thompson. Walsh. Warren. Wasserberger. Watt. White. Wanitzer. Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Berger, no to aye. Gingery, no to aye. Are there any other changes? Vote is closed. 44 ayes, 14 noes, 2 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to override the veto of House Enrolled Act number 60, being original House Bill 291. And House Enrolled Act number 60 has passed the House. We do have some conference committee reports that have now been made available. The first conference committee report for our consideration will be Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to House Bill 232. Chairman Lockhart, are you ready for that?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I am. This is House Bill 232, and you may recall that was economic development excise taxes, and I asked for a conference committee for clarity, and in that process, we found some corrections that needed to be made to the engrossed bill, and those changes really were punctuation in nature and a little clarification by that punctuation. There was also a page and line number that was in error. So we made those corrections, and I would urge your support of the Joint Conference Committee report on House Bill 232.
Is there any discussion? Any discussion? We are voting on the motion to adopt the Joint Conference for Committee Report Number 1 to House Bill 232. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Anderson. Bagby. Barnard. Berger. Brestel. Brown. Buchanan. Buell. Childers. Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Davison. Davison. Dirks excused. Edwards. Esquivel. Gay. Gilmore. Gingery. Goggles. Hageman. Hageman. Hammonds. Harshman. Harvey. Hastert. Hinckley. Eichel. Illaway. Jackson. Jones. Jorgensen excused. Landon. Latta. Lockhart. Lubno. Martin. McCombie, Miley, Miller, Morgan, Olson, Osborne, Patterson, Peterson, Philp, Powers, Forberg, Mr. Minority Floor Leader, Robinson, Samuelson, Simlett, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Slater, Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Wasserberger, Watt, White, Swanitzer, Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to adopt the Joint Conference Committee number report number 1 to House Bill 232. The next Joint Conference report is Joint Conference Committee report number 1 to Senate File 14. Representative Berger.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. I move to concur with Joint Conference Committee on Senate File 14 in a positive vote, please. And I will just try to explain briefly what we did in the conference committee. We voted to adopt the amendments from the House that were the effective date of September 16, 2005, and the cleanup language on licensing, and then also the amendment that was a harshening on the insurance masking. The conference committee did not agree to or to delete the amendments that were one where we had, excuse me for just one moment. On page 7, it was brought by Corberg, no motor vehicle shall be halted solely for a violation of subsection H or J of this section. And the committee voted to delete the Corberg amendment and keep the Senate side. We also further deleted the Lennon Amendment and the Harvey Amendment and the Simpson Amendment. And we further amended, and that's what you have in front of you, which is for page 2, line 16. And what we're doing there, if you have the bill in front of you, but if you go to page 2, line 16, after the exception of a winner's permit or hardship permit, we will insert this language here that allows someone who is 16 who for 6 months has had their permit and they have taken driver's education in the school district or qualified driving instructor, and they've got a passing grade or certificate, that would then allow them for the remaining 6 months to carry more than one passenger in the car, up to 4. And with that amendment, we also deleted the permission by school or religious activity and kept that to a guardian or a parent. And with that, I would stand for question or ask for a favorable vote.
Is there any discussion? Chairman Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, this conference committee just pretty much has taken all the House amendments out of the bill. Deleted House Amendment 1, 3, 4, 5, 6. So now we're back to just where, you know, we put a lot of work in on that and had a lot of discussion on whether or not it should be restricted to just one passenger in the car, or whether or not we were going to permit the youth of Wyoming to be able to drive together and do some things together, and whether they're in a state for taking one car or three, or whether they're any, whether it's this bill now is written, whether that meets the needs of the people of Wyoming who. A lot of rural people have a long ways to go and getting to and from school, and parents are taken out of it again. They don't have any say. So I'd urge the body to consider resisting the conference.
Representative Latta.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I urge the body to adopt this conference committee report. There were a lot of things that we, when we went over the bill, we had to compromise on. And some of us and myself in particular, was not very interested in compromising on any of it. Zero. Nothing. And the compromise that we come up with, I'm not entirely happy with, but we come up with, at 16 years old, you're restricted. You got to take a driver's education course or be taught by a certified driving instructor. And then at the age 16 and a half, you can then carry your four passengers in your car. I think it's a very good compromise. I think we went through things fairly well on it. Everybody had their opinion on it. I think it's a very, very well thought out compromise, and you don't take giant steps in this house or any other government. You take baby steps, and I think this is a good compromise. It's a small step forward, and I would urge your support of this conference committee.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Pedersen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would urge you not to support this conference committee amendment, and if we really are speaking of baby steps, I felt that the compromise was, in fact, a baby step in that direction. Part of the reason that we originally went in there and put on all those amendments and did all of that work was simply because we were trying to satisfy people who would not have the ability to do this. I still say that when the kids don't carpool because they want to save the environment, and I think that that was a piece that we discussed on here. And not every school system in the state of Wyoming can afford to offer a driver's ed program. So now, what are we going to commute all the kids into the larger school districts so that they can participate in this? How are they going to get there? They certainly can't drive, because they definitely can't get in the car with a number of their friends so that they can all go to the class together. I think that this is a class warfare, and I stand with all the previous arguments that I already said.
Anyone else for their first time? First time. Second time?
Mr. Speaker, thank you.
Just a minute. Representative Pedersen. Second time, Representative Berger.
Thank you. This certainly was a compromise by the six of us in the Joint Conference Committee. And really, the turning point for us was the driver education component. We felt that that met a lot of the needs of various discussions that have taken place over the last couple of weeks, that there are about 57% of the school districts that do offer driver's education. It was felt that this was an important component that would then allow for the young individuals to have up to three or four passengers in the car if they did not have any moving violations. They did meet that requirement. And ladies and gentlemen, it's 6 months that they would have that restriction. I think it's a really good incentive. And I also believe that as the good representative from Park County who brought this, that it encourages us to look further down the road here at providing more driver's education in our school systems, which I think would be a great component. So I urge your vote aye.
We're voting on the motion to adopt Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to Senate File 14. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Alden. Anderson, Bagby, Barnard, Berger, Bechtel, Brown, Buchanan, Buell, Childers, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, Davison, Dirks excused, Edwards, Esquivel, Gay, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hageman, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Astert, Hinckley, Eichel, Illaway, Jackson, Jones, Jorgensen excused, Landon, Latta, Lockhart, Lovenow, Martin, McComey, Miley, Miller, Morgan, Olson, Osborne, Pedersen, Peterson, Filt, Powers, Forberg, Mr. Minority Floor Leader, Robinson, Samuelson, Semlett, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Slater, Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Wasserberger, Watt, White, Zwanitzer, Mr. Speaker.
No. No.
I'm about to close the vote. Miller, aye to no. Lockhart, aye to no. Walsh, aye to no. Are there any other changes? Vote is closed. 36 ayes, 22 noes, 2 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to adopt Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to Senate File 14. We're now back on that exciting business of reading and signing of enrolled acts. First enrolled act for consideration is Enrolled Act 103.
House Enrolled Act Number 103, being Original House Bill 114, an act relating to the Wyoming Pharmacy Act.
About to sign Enrolled Act Number 103, being Original House Bill 114. I have so signed. Next Enrolled Act is Enrolled Act 104.
House Enrolled Act Number 104, being Original House Bill 148, an act relating to the Wyoming Veterans Memorial Museum.
About to sign Enrolled Act Number 104, being Original House Bill 148. I have so signed. Next Enrolled Act is 105.
House Enrolled Act Number 105, being Original House Bill Number 186, an act relating to athletic agents.
About to sign Enrolled Act Number 105, being Original House Bill 186. I have so signed. Next Enrolled Act is 106.
House Enrolled Act Number 106, being Original House Bill 189, an act relating to veterans.
About to sign Enrolled Act Number 106, being Original House Bill 189. I have so signed. Next Enrolled Act is Number 107.
House Enrolled Act Number 107, being Original House Bill Number 327, an act relating to water regarding the Horse Creek Conservation District.
About to sign Enrolled Act Number 107, being Original House Bill 327. I have so signed. Next one is Enrolled Act Number 108.
House Enrolled Act Number 108, being Original House Bill 349, an act relating to temporary guardianship.
About to sign Enrolled Act Number 108, being Original House Bill 349. I have so signed. Next act is in Senate Enrolled Act Number 76.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 76, being Original Senate File 169, an act relating to agriculture.
About to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 76, being Original Senate File 169. I have so signed. Next Enrolled Act is Number 85.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 85, being Original Senate File Number 64, an act relating to correctional officers.
About to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 85, being Original Senate File 64. I have so signed. Next Enrolled Act is Number 86.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 86, being Original Senate File Number 132, an act relating to the Wyoming Criminal History Record Act.
About to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 86, being Original Senate File 132. I have so signed. Next act for consideration is 87.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 87, being Original Senate File Number 173, an act relating to crimes and offenses.
About to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 87, being Original Senate File 173. I have so signed. And that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage, and that would be Senate File 41.
Senate File 41, introduced by the Travel Committee, an act relating to natural resources, the Wildlife and Natural Resource Funding Act, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Senate File 41, having one or two amendments, once again. Third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 41. Representative Buchholz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This time I move third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 41. As my colleague from Park County was carefully parting through the hairs on the back of this bill, he found yet another nit, and that's why I bring this amendment. As you can see by the line and page identification, on page 10, line 3, language is added that the board of the trust may forward applications for small projects above the $200,000 annual limit under this subsection, and of course they're being forwarded to the select committee. It's much like the second reading amendment that I moved this morning. It was just a way to make it absolutely plain and clear that the intention here is that the board can move and recommend to the select committee small project grants even after they exceed the $200,000 annual limit for consideration by the select committee.
Further discussion, Chairman Childers.
Mr. Speaker, this one's friendly.
Any other discussion? First time, second time. We're voting on third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 41. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no. Amendment is adopted. Third reading amendment number 2 will be laid back. Third reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 41. Representative Gay.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 41. What this amendment does is return the $200,000 limit to each project. If you look on your emails that you've received this afternoon, you'll find one entitled, How Much Is Spent on Wyoming Wildlife and Habitat? In the body of that email, you'll see that various habitat projects, USDA in 2004 spent $18.7 million. In 2005, USDA projects were $21.2 million. Wyoming Game and Fish Department projects annual budget is $40 million. As it stands right now, $200,000 for an entire annual budget for this thing is a paltry sum, less than 1% of the expenditures that I named. This amendment will bring it back up to $200,000 per project. I urge your support. Thank you.
Chairman Childers.
Well, Mr. Speaker, on and against the amendment, in the email that you got, what it doesn't say is how much how much federal process is involved in coming up with these numbers. Do we need to talk about the federal budget and how much time it takes to make some of those decisions? We're setting up a process in this bill, admittedly, compared to what we got when it was brought over from the Senate, is a little bit more cumbersome, but it's spending public money, and we're taking a good consideration of looking at this issue through the legislative process as should be. And it's not unreasonable to be asking this, and as I discussed the other day, we have the issue that smaller projects, such as FFA and 4-H, we can carry lots of those smaller projects, and there's plenty of those small projects that could be done. And I think the email also says there's already a lot of money being spent on these projects, and those monies will continue to be spent. I think we've set up a good bill here, and I think leaving the $200,000 in the way it is, and to have legislative oversight with good planning, and it works with the Select Water Committee, even at lesser dollar amounts, let's do it with this, with the $200,000, on and against the amendment.
Mr. Minority Floor Leader.
Mr. Chairman, sir, Mr. Speaker, excuse me, speaking for the amendment, this is a committee bill, went through an awful lot of work during the interim, and they'd come up with a figure of $500,000 per project before it needed any oversight. Actually, there was no oversight. But it's been dramatically reworked since it came to the House. I think that this is a good compromise on what needs to be done. Remember that some of these $200,000 on a lot of these projects isn't very much. And we are putting in place a commission that the Wyoming citizens and various groups that will be making these decisions. I think we need to trust the expertise. Actually, they've been qualified or selected for their qualifications. And their qualifications are probably a little bit better than most of ours. $200,000 isn't a lot to ask for. And it's not what the original bill had in it, which was $500,000 for the amendment.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Certainly this doesn't limit any project $200,000. It limits a project without legislative oversight. But once we get legislative oversight, the amount is indeterminable, and it can be. So all those projects that are so good for this thing, if that's such a thing, all they have to have is legislative oversight and go over there.
Representative Buchholz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against third reading amendment to Senate File 41. This is an old friend. It's the same amendment we had on second reading, of course. I think there might still be a misperception floating around out there because there was a comment made here by the bringer of the amendment that this might represent the annual budget of the trust fund. Well, that's not the case at all. It's the amount that the board of the trust fund can spend without legislative oversight and is not a budget or limitation on what can be spent for these projects in any way. Furthermore, I would point out that we already have trust funds out there that accrue their earnings for the benefit of wildlife that do not have any oversight. The corpus of one such trust fund, the Wyoming Wildlife Trust Fund, is about $18 million, and there are substantial monies available from the earnings from that trust fund, the principal accruing there principally from the sale of conservation stamps that go out to fund projects. And we also have a private wildlife endowment that provides benefits for wildlife and many others, as my good colleague from the Throne of County pointed out. The question here, of course, is what is the threshold we think is appropriate? When we're starting out with a new and exciting proposal, we don't yet know the rules and regulations. We don't have a good handle on the size of the project requests that would be coming in for grants from the trust fund. And I would urge you to resist this amendment and proceed with some modality and caution, and let us look over and hear testimony in our legislature about these projects and see how things proceed. If we go to $200,000 per project, we have no idea how many requests will come in for amounts under $200,000, and they can be added sequentially to arrive at total sums of expenditures without legislative oversight that we really have no good grasp on what those amounts would be.
Mr. Speaker, pro tem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and against third reading amendment number 3. Would we do the same thing with our water funds if there was a potential that Select Water or some board could spend money to impact in-stream flow? I doubt it. Seriously. We wouldn't do that without a great deal of thought beforehand. Look at what we've done with the School Facilities Commission that was modeled upon the Select Water. Have all of you been happy with what's happened with this School Facilities Commission? No, you haven't. But that has legislative oversight. What if it didn't have legislative oversight? Do you think you'd be less happy? I suspect you would. Let's walk before we run. Let's be cautious. This is a new program. We're headed into territory here that we don't fully understand. And I would urge that we follow the cautionary tone that we've set throughout our debates on amendments on this floor.
Anyone else for their first time? First time. Second time, Chairman Childers.
Mr. Speaker, concerning the $500,000, you know, as we talked about earlier on another bill, one of the reasons that the initial bill that came out of interim committee was that we had a little thing called a special session. We also had the election year, and we probably didn't get the previous interim committee didn't have a chance to thoroughly look at what this particular trust fund should have in it. Maybe the Senate didn't have enough time in it, but I think the House did a good job of taking a look at it, especially in comparison to the Select Water Committee. and the water issues. So again, on and against amendment number 3.
Second time. Representative Gay.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We are going to be involved as a legislature in these projects one way or the other. It's just a matter of at what point do we trigger our compulsion to micromanage these projects. This amendment will hold us off from micromanaging any individual project until it has reached the $200,000 expenditure on and forth.
Mr. Speaker, pro tem. We are voting on third reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 41. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no.
No.
The amendment fails.
We are on third reading amendment number 4 to Senate File 41, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I move third reading amendment number 4 to Senate File 41, and to initiate the process, I will use one of my favorite legislative phrases. That was then and this is now. A few days ago, I urged the body to adopt a $15 million spending limit to come out of the coal lease bonus monies. At that time, budget negotiations were still going on. Our goldenrod on the House side showed a big deficit. And to repeat the phrase again, that was then and this is now. A few minutes ago, we adopted the joint conference report on the budget. It shows that we do have enough money in the budget reserve account and that we would be able to take that and relieve the pressure, or at least the fear, of using coal lease bid bonus monies to fund the account. Now, I would point out, however, that it is still somewhat of a shell game, because the coal lease bonus monies do flow into the budget, eventually flow into the budget reserve account, and would be probably the same monies that we would use anyway. But if it makes, if it gives somebody and more people more ease, that the funding of this account would not be funded directly with Coley's bonus monies, I'm willing to do that. I do believe we're in a slightly different situation than we were 2 days ago, and would urge the body to adopt this amendment.
Representative Latta.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I, too, would urge the body to adopt the committee amendment number 4. I think this is a beginning program. It's a program that's of utter importance to the state of Wyoming. And it, as the revenues flow, the $15 million flow in, and we take it out of budget reserve account, I think we're not jeopardizing that fragile framework that was put together so carefully by the committee in the interim work. And that framework I'm talking about is with the mineral industry, environmental industry, oil and gas, everybody that was involved with this. I think that this flow of money more seems to be more in the line in which that committee worked on and got all those people to sign off that said, yeah, maybe this is something we can support. So I strongly urge this House to support this amendment for $15 million to House Bill 41 with the funding source coming out of the budget reserve account.
Chairman Childers.
Mr. Speaker, I'm always willing to seriously consider things by leadership, and I would consider this a friendly amendment.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time? Representative McComey, for your first time.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I just couldn't pass up the little shot here, I guess, as you'd say, is that I voted and supported the coal lease money because I was trying to keep money in the general fund for health insurance for retirees.
Point of order. Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time? Mr. Speaker, do you want it the second time? All those in favor of third reading amendment number 4 to Senate File 41, please say aye. All those opposed say no. Third reading amendment number 4 is passed.
We are now on third reading amendment number 5 to Senate File 31. Representative Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 5 to Senate File 41. Basically, this is an attempt at $20 million. We tried 30 twice this morning. I just felt sometimes that at $15 million, it wasn't quite enough. We split in half what the Senate gave us, and they split in half, I think, what was intended to the Wyoming public. And so I think this allows for the argument that we still have some cooperation and leeway between the House and Senate to get a number between 20 and 30. But I would just hate to see the number be between 15 and 30 and go down to 15. So I guess I see this as a safeguard that we won't go any lower than 20, hopefully. I don't mean to belabor the point, so I'll let some other people talk.
Representative Warren.
Mr. Speaker, I wanted to support this amendment also. It's kind of late in the day, and it's hard to be thinking about money right now. We've just been through the whole budget. And why do we want to spend more? But there is some leeway in this budget, and it could give us a position with the Senate to really make a commitment to this. This is a savings account, and we put some money in the budget reserve and the legislative reserve account and so on, but this is really a savings account like the other big savings account that we're talking about. So why not put it into this savings account now, and why not invest in this so we can use the return on this in the future? So I would really support your vote on this, and that, in fact, it was then that we did $15 million. It is now that we can vote for $20 million. Thank you.
Anyone else for the first time? Chairman Landon.
Mr. Speaker and members, I'd urge you to consider supporting this amendment also, primarily for the reason that of public perception. I think that that becomes reality to lots of people, and whenever they see that the legislature's taken it down to such a low number, I think it increases the level of cynicism. I think that the increase that we're talking about here, this $5 million, is a good place to put some of the resources of the state for the future generations of the citizens of Wyoming, and I think that it would just give some credibility to what we're working on here.
Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would certainly rise in opposition to this proposed amendment. Just by way of reflection, we had extensive debate about this, how the $15 million came into place on this particular piece of proposed legislation. First, we stripped it in appropriations from the 30 down to zero, and then an amendment on the body yesterday, we brought it up to 15. And I would encourage the body to stay the course. Nothing has really changed on this this way of reflection. You have rules and regulations, and the period of time that has to go by, this body has to come into formation. $15 million shows good faith on the part of the state of Wyoming. I urge you to stay the course.
Mr. Minority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, the $15 million figure that's in the bill right now is about 20% of what the interim committee suggests we start with. They wanted us to start with 75, it got dropped to 30 in the Senate, dropped down to zero, back up to 15. That only represents 20% of what we originally said we were going to do. Three good reasons for doing this. One, it is money going into a trust fund. It's put away, and it's put away will be used for good use in the future. Two, this is money that's going to be used to help support the number two industry in this state, which is tourism. That's what people come to the state for: hunting, fishing, wildlife, the scenery. It's tourism, our number two industry, far and away above our number three. And the third reason I'd ask you to support this is just to take a look at your emails, the letters, and the phone calls you've been getting. We're all in support of the $30 million. This is two-thirds of that for the amendment.
Chairman Childers.
Mr. Speaker, is the email that you got explained
what kind of money is already going into conservation issues and wildlife issues. And I would say that the private sector, if you look at many sectors of businesses in the state, there's probably large amounts going in that aren't even on this list. And some amendments are friendly and some amendments are unfriendly. This one's unfriendly. Vote no.
Anyone else for their first time? First time. Second time? Second time, Representative Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I certainly don't want to go back to my constituency and said and tell them I'm unfriendly to wildlife, because I'm not. You know, we all got that email today for $71 million. I looked at the numbers. While I know we do have a significant amount of money that do go to wildlife funding projects, I would definitely contend that not all that $71 million goes to those specific reasons. You know, we had a lot of fights in this bill in the last 4 days. I don't think $20 million is too much to ask for, but once again, you know, I think we took this great idea that's been around for 20 years, and this was the year we were going to do it, and we put enough strangleholds on it to not let it flourish to, I think, what the Wyoming citizenry wants. And so I would, once again, how about we use the word beseech this time, to vote for this amendment and at least let it be at $20 million as a safeguard to not let it go below that in 2005. Thank you.
We are voting on third reading amendment number 5 to Senate File 41. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no.
No.
Amendment fails. Division being called for. All those in favor of third reading amendment number 5 to Senate File 41, please rise. All those opposed, please rise. Amendment fails. Now back on third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 31, Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 2 and will withdraw the amendment at the appropriate time. Mr. Speaker, we do have problems with wildlife in Wyoming. And I wanted to bring this third reading amendment to continue the discussion for one more time. You know, I have a question for the proponents of this bill. Why do we need more government-owned land that this bill allows for the wildlife in Wyoming? I just don't understand it, and I would like to hear a response to that.
I'm not sure. Oh. Representative Semlin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. All in for the amendment. Mr. Speaker, members of the body, within the work of the legislature, we do receive many messages. Some of the messages are rather bold and some are rather subtle. And several months ago, we began to receive a message about the Wildlife and Natural Resource Trust Act. We heard the messages, and after some time, they became embedded in our head. Wildlife and Natural Resource Trust Act, good. Wildlife and Natural Resource Trust Act, good, as they seem to say. But I found some messages in this proposal to be rather disturbing and a big shift in the policy in the way in which we consider legislative business in our state. The concept of providing a trust account as a means of generating a revenue stream for certain causes, in my opinion, is very poor public policy. to set out and earmark funds for a particular cause without any consideration and ability to renew our priorities on a yearly basis sends a very poor message to the many people in the state and does not serve the ever-changing needs of our citizens very well. Let's talk about some other badly needed funding streams that we have in our state. Examples of a trust account and examples of a guaranteed revenue that we could use. We could use them in our small communities. The small communities in my district, we struggle to be able to continue to flush the stools and have our septic systems and sewer systems work. We struggle to be able to patch the streets. Sounds like a good idea to me. Let's have a guaranteed revenue stream for them. How about the small businesses on our main street? They struggle to meet the payroll. They struggle to keep their doors open in our small communities. How about a trust fund for them, a guaranteed source of revenue for them? How about our livestock industry? We're facing 6 years of drought in Wyoming, and our livestock industry in the eastern half of the state particularly is in peril. There's going to be some big changes this spring if we don't get moisture. Big changes are going to affect our communities because our livestock people aren't going to be there. Have you ever been to a sale where a farmer or rancher has been sold out? I tell you, it's not a pretty sight. But you say, well, we can't provide revenue stream or support for those types of industries. Our Constitution doesn't allow it. Well, of course it doesn't allow it. But I dare you to find wildlife in our Constitution either. How about a trust fund for the 75 or 80,000 people in our state that do not have health insurance? Why don't we take care of them? We spent a great deal of time talking about the amount of money that we should put in this trust fund. What problems are we trying to solve? We do have some problems with wildlife in our state. Let me talk to you about some of them. One of the biggest obstacles we have in a golf course in my part of the state is antelope on the fairway, not sand traps. One of the biggest problems that we have in one of our small communities, right in the northeastern corner of our state, in one of our little towns, is deer in town. What problems are we trying to solve here? Game numbers in this state, to my recollection, are target population. So what problems are we trying to solve here? We do have some cyclic changes in our wildlife. Drought affects our wildlife. There's no question about that. It also affects the people in our private sector who have provided the income for us to even talk about this. Why do we think we always have to manage our wildlife? The wildlife in this state was here long before we were, and they'll be here long after we're gone. We don't need to manage every aspect of our wildlife. And finally, Mr. Speaker and members of the body, I want to talk to you about some confusing messages that we seem to get. We got a handout last week. I won't read the name on top of it. One of the opening statements is, standing very still and watching as a doe gives birth to her fawn, holding your breath as the tiny animal unfolds itself to stand on wobbly legs. Paints a pretty picture, doesn't it? Well, this same organization, some time ago, when we were talking about the reintroduction of wolves into this state, where did they stand on that issue? Sounds like we're getting some confusing messages here, maybe some mixed messages. When our sawmills in this state, which I believe is down to 3, were struggling to try to get timber on public lands so they could keep the people in their mills working, where was these organizations on that issue? We lost a mill in my district. 80 families were out of work. So, as we consider this Senate File 41, I just ask that you step back for a moment and really take a look at what we're trying to do here, and what problems we're trying to solve. Wildlife is in good shape in this state. It's in good shape on the strength of the private sector industries and the landowners that have continually provided for their habitat. We provide water for them, we provide feed for them. The mining industry has rehabilitated the overburdens, and we have wildlife there that we never had before. So again, I ask you, what problems are we trying to solve here? So I would just encourage you to consider not just the message that you're hearing on email. I have not received one message from my district that says Representative Simlick support this trespass. And I have to believe that there are a lot of our constituents out there that are too busy to be involved in this public process, that are working for a living, that are trying to keep their stores open on Main Street, that haven't had an opportunity to weigh in on this issue. But I'm sure you have constituents that way, I have constituents that way, and Mr. Speaker, I'm just here to try to speak to them. Thank you.
Representative Jackson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As a new member of this House, it's been many, many hours that I've spent over here in total awe listening to the debate and the discussion go on. But mostly, I've sat over there in total shock at the amount of time and the emphasis put on this piece of legislation. Now, I support managing our wildlife. I think it's important. But I think we have overkilled the amount of time and the emphasis that we've put on this piece of legislation in the last few days. I don't know what it'll be next year or the following year, but at some point, there's going to be some health issues come to this floor for discussion. Because I can tell this fine body that across this state, affordable health insurance is far more important to the people of this state as a whole than wildlife habitat. I really believe that. I also believe that having health care provided in our communities is also another important issue across this state. I don't know if you realize that we've got some communities that don't have doctors anymore. We've got some communities in this state that if your wife's going to deliver a baby, she's going to drive 60, 70 miles to do that. And I can assure this body, at some point, the people in this state are going to want some answers to these real, real tough questions. And so I encourage you to think of where your priorities are as you make the decisions that we must make. However, there is some blue sky out there. The sun's going to shine. Because if we pass Senate File 41, we're going to have an antelope standing on every corner and a duck in every pond. And we will address this issue when the doctors across this state, as well as the citizens of this state, are entered on the endangered species list. So with that, Mr. Speaker, I stand on and for the amendment.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to add what the good representative presented to us from the Devil's Tower area, I too stand in support of the amendment against the bill. As I presented our House Bill 5 to the Revenue Committee in the Senate, the majority floor leader over there told me, I have nothing against the money, I'm against the earmarking. So when I asked the question about, well, how come we're earmarking for wildlife, his answer was, it's for the animals. I think that
I have no argument against the money either. I think we ought to appropriate it and go through the appropriation process every 2 years. If we need money for wildlife habitat, let's do it that way. But this is another form of earmarking. We've got it shot down. It's not important for cities and towns. I don't think it's more important for cities and towns than it is for wildlife. I'm all for putting the money to wildlife habitat where we need it, but I'm opposed to the doing it around the budget process. Now, there is one advantage to this, that because it will attract private funds along with the public funds. However, we already have an avenue for that. There is that Wildlife Trust Fund. There's $18 million in it now, and it could grow. So that is kind of a moot argument as far as I'm concerned. I'm opposed to the support the amendment, opposed to the bill.
Representative Bechtel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Rising in favor of the amendment, I think just about everything has been said that really needs to be, but I really question where our priorities are heading. I think all of us listen to appropriations. We have some real human life issues out there. There are some people that really are feel that they're in a state of peril, and as it's been mentioned, the health issues that are coming up, we've got to deal with those issues as well. In addition, I just rise in favor of the amendment against the bill.
Representative McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I rise in support of the bill and against the amendment, and I'd like to tell you why. I rise in support today in support of this bill. And to make a special recognition before I cast my vote, I would like my vote, and in fact all of yours, to support Senate File 41, the Wildlife and Natural Resource Funding Act, in honor and in memory of Dr. Harry Tipton. As most of you know, Dr. Tipton served in this house for 24 years as an esteemed colleague from Fremont County. He passed away just last year while in office. Dr. Tipton would probably have enjoyed this moment in the House today more than any of us, because in 1982, he voted for a very similar version of this bill called House Bill 149. Recreation and Conservation Account. He continued to support the various versions of this bill as they came before the legislature over the intervening years. Harry's widow, Mrs. Alex Tipton, aware of the bill, and has indicated that if Harry were alive today, he would strongly support this measure. Dr. Tipton was an avid fisherman and hunter. He loved Wyoming's out of doors. He and his family spent uncountable days and weeks together in Wyoming's wild places, hunting, fishing, and recreating together. Harry was particularly concerned about protecting Wyoming's open spaces. Ladies and gentlemen, I wanted you to be aware of his devotion. We just passed a conference committee a report that was dear also to Dr. Tipton, and that was the graduated driver's license. I think the time has come that we recognize the conservation of our wildlife in Wyoming is no longer a hit in this situation. I think it's time we recognize you have to have a funding stream for these things that sportsmen have been supporting all for years and years with their license fees. Now's the time to give those people some assistance. And this bill, I believe, is one of the ways to do it. On and for the bill and against the amendment.
Representative Corbett.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and in favor of the amendment. We've spent the last 2 or 3 days, I think, trying to make an unnecessary piece of legislation better. It's all been predicated on the fact that there is somehow some unmet need on the part of the state of Wyoming to properly take care of its wildlife and its natural resources. And there is just no evidence to indicate that that is true. This state has access to not only federal money, but state money through our own programs that we've set up over the years millions and millions of dollars that we spend each year on our wildlife and on habitat in the state of Wyoming. To say that our wildlife and our natural resource efforts are hit or miss is just not the case. We have a wonderful wildlife population in this state, and we do much to preserve our habitat. And I think we've seen that in recent decisions by the federal government not to list the black-tailed prairie dog, not to list the sage grouse as endangered. They recognize our efforts. We are doing a good job. I urge this body not to support this bill. We have not had the opportunity to have discussions on the floor about the basic philosophy of what is happening here. I see no benefit in the state being able to obtain more land, to take more land out of private ownership and put it into state ownership by being able to receive gifts. Our private property owners are great stewards of the land. We know that. We see it every day. I urge this body to vote for the amendment and against this bill. Thank you.
Representative Bagby.
Thank you,
Mr. Speaker.
Speaking against the amendment and for the bill, I want to relate a story. This is a true story that I've had in the back of my mind for the last 15 years, and I can't get it out of my mind. It was a very, very severe winter, and I was working as a conductor on the head end of the train between Rawlins to Green River, and sometimes from Green River to Ogden. The winter was so severe that the antelope and the deer were drawn down into these curves and gullies that the train runs through. And I hope none of you ever have to experience being on the head end of the train and running into a herd of antelope, and then getting off the train when you get to Green River with the blood and the guts all over the front end of the train. It's not a pretty sight. The antelope had nowhere to go. They got down in those cuts because they were out of the wind. And I'm not blaming the railroads, because you can't stop a 15,000-ton train on a dime. It takes a mile to a mile and a half. So when you come around a corner at 60 miles an hour and there's a herd of antelope there, you're going to run into them, and you're going to kill them. But I think the thing that got me was when they sent section trucks out there along the right-of-way to pick those antelope and those deer up, and they were stacked like cordwood. Hundreds of them on those dead antelope. And it wasn't only in Wyoming. A lot of it was when we went up into Utah. You'd go up through the Wasatch Mountains, and there'd be dead deer on each side of the track every 10 feet. It was a severe winter. And I can tell you this, those antelope and those deer had no voice, no food, no protection. And I think this Wildlife Trust Fund, if we would have had it in action then, would probably have been able to save some of those antelope. But whenever you stack that many dead antelope on the back of a truck like cordwood, and several years after that, I didn't think the herds were ever going to come back. They have finally come back, but in my mind, it took a long time, probably 10 years. I urge your support against this amendment and on the bill.
Chairman Hagman.
Mr. Speaker, Tim, is it on?
I guess.
You know, I've been in this legislature long enough to have been here when the last bill was put up to set up a trust fund like this, and it was probably one of the best things that ever happened to the state of Wyoming, that it was defeated. Can you imagine what would have happened had we spent $250 million buying land in the state of Wyoming? Who would have been taking care of it by now? It was really one of the better things that happened to us, and we didn't get the darn thing, but that isn't what I got up here to talk about. I was on the Ag Committee for many years, Select Water, and now back on Ag. And at that time, we had a lot of different water bills that we heard, and we'd hear, listen to them from 7 till 10, and then through the noon hour, and then from 4 on every day. And that's when we built several of the big water projects in the state of Wyoming. And the same groups now that are pushing so hard for this bill are the same ones that fought us on every single one of those water projects. And yet we still went ahead and built them, and every one of those water projects we mitigated for wildlife. We either, the game and fish either got a pool of water in the bottom of the pool, or they got some land with it, or wetlands. We created wetlands in a lot of different places, and we did all of these things. And every one of these things aided wildlife. So you don't need to feel guilty about not voting for this bill. We've been doing this for all of these years. We've been doing what wildlife took in this state, and it's worked really well. I haven't figured out yet what this bill is supposed to do. I really don't understand, but I know in our area where the game and fish wound up owning quite a little bit of land, we had to go in and control the weeds for them and all kinds of things, and where it's privately owned, why the weeds are controlled, and where it isn't, they aren't. So this thing could have such long-lasting effect on this state that we don't know what will happen. I think it's something, if we do, we're going to have to go into awfully slow. We have done so much in my 22 years here for wildlife that I just can't see what more this is going to do. The biggest problems we have in wildlife in this state we're not addressing at all. And that's a fact in our country. We just don't have wildlife anymore. Not because of a lack of habitat, because it's some of the best grassland and a lot of CRP and all of those things. But the problem is that the predators have driven everything out of there. We just don't have the game anymore. But we've even done something on that. You know, we've set up an agreement between the Department of Agriculture and the Game and Fish to go ahead and work on some of these problems. So we've done that in the last few years. I don't know if anybody of you know that, but we have a program right now in several different places in the state where the Game and Fish and Department of Agriculture work together to see if they can control predators and bring antelope back and so on. So it isn't as if we hadn't been doing anything. I really don't know why there's such a big push for this bill when you stop and look at the history of what we've done in the last 23 years. I just don't see why there's such a big push for this thing, because we have been doing something every year, and we'll continue to do those things, whether we get this trust fund or not. But I really don't think you need to feel guilty about voting against this thing. Yet, I just can't get a grasp of how it's going to work or how it's going to help the state. So I'm speaking for the amendment against the bill.
Mr. Minority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, Pro Tem, let's talk first about a couple of things that this bill is not. It's not about buying a lot of land. There is a piece in there that says, yes, we can acquire land, but if it's donated, it's only after the board that's appointed says it's okay, and only after the State Land and Investment Board says it's okay. As far as buying land, it's only with the approval of that board, the State Land and Investment Board, and the Select Legislative Committee. There's going to be very little land bought, and that's not what this was about anyway. It's not about the Game and Fish Department. That $18 million that you keep referring to, that was donations into that account for this type of thing, but it's a different thing. The Game and Fish Department can apply for grants for habitat, but then so can the Department of Agriculture. In fact, I think the Department of Agriculture probably has a leg up on getting those grants. And remember, for the first several years, there's not going to be a lot of money here anyway. But $15 million, that's about $750,000 a year, 5%. What this bill is about is addressing the loss of habitat, wildlife habitat, in this state. It's about improving or keeping the hunting that we've got in this state, the fishing, the tourism, all of these things what the citizens of this state use. It's very important to many of the citizens of this state. It's important to the business owners of this state, because they look around a lot of these small towns in Wyoming. Their business is summertime business, and it's tourism. What are they here for? They're here for the wildlife, the fishing, the natural resources, the natural beauty of this state. In fact, worldwide, this type of tourism is one of the fastest growing segments of tourism. It's becoming increasingly popular because there are very few places left that have the type of habitat Wyoming has. This is about long-range planning. It's something that we need to do a lot more of. This is saying, well, yeah, we've got habitat now, and we've got wildlife now, but we want to make sure that we keep it, because Wyoming is growing. Our towns are growing. The areas outside of our towns are growing. Ranches are being bought and split into ranchettes. Housing developments. Mineral development continues to encroach on the habitat that we have today. And that's what this is about. Saying, okay, we're losing habitat here. Maybe we can recreate that over here. And this allows the mineral development to continue. This is about a lot of things, folks. It's about replacing habitat. It's about our economy. It's about tourism. It's about the people in this state that like to hunt and fish. And that's why a lot of them stay here. They could make more money somewhere else. The wages in the state are awfully low. But they stay here because of our wide open spaces, because of our hunting, our fishing, the natural beauty of the state. And that's what this bill is about. It's a step towards addressing the future. 50 years from now, what's Wyoming going to look like? Are we going to look like one of the eastern states? Hopefully not. But as we continue to grow, if we grow without any planning or anything to help with the habitat, we'll look a lot more like it. There's a lot of reasons to vote for this, and I would ask you to do so.
Chairman Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. One of the things that I heard that I just wanted to spend a minute on was whenever we're talking about private landowners, I think that we recognize that the job that has been done by private landowners and the wildlife resources that we have in the state is to a great deal due to their stewardship and to their managing their places the way they do. I just don't want there to be any idea that this bill is going out because we think that private landowners haven't been supplying that foundation that wildlife depends on. In fact, I think that this bill could actually be construed as a thank you to private landowners for what you have done, for the improvements that have been made on the places across the state, and that this is actually going to be a resource, the power of the state, a resource from all of the people in the state to private landowners that say that we're going to be here to help enhance your efforts. If you want to do something on your property, if you have a fencing project you want to do, if you want to manage things in a different way that it improves habitat in certain areas, and that fits in with your ranching plan, and you need some resources to do that, then all the citizens of Wyoming are willing to contribute to that. And when we see the wildlife out there, it's going to be with a sense of pride and a sense of that we value our natural surroundings, and we're willing to make a contribution towards those ends. So, against the amendment and for the bill.
Representative is wanted, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So often I don't understand this body, but since they tell me that we're representative of the state as a whole, I guess I don't understand the state. We've had 65-70% of our constituents this year tell us we need to save all the money. And I would contend to you that segment that's filling out these surveys, they're the retirees in our state. You're not finding the 20 to 40-year-olds sitting down filling out surveys and saying we need to save it all. You're not finding the four of us under 40 standing up here and saying we need to save all this money. Maybe they'll start now, but I haven't seen them up to this point. And I know that's just, I think, the generation that members of this body and a lot of our state and the retired population you grew up with. You think, and it's not a bad thing, but you always need to save money because there's going to be a rainy day sometimes. And I work at an auction where You know, we have people die a couple of months. I do estate sales. And people live in poverty for 20 years while saving money. And they passed away, and, I mean, sometimes money goes to government, but otherwise the money goes in a trust fund for their kids or grandkids. And I went to college with a heck of a bunch of trust fund kids, and I'll tell you that they're not the ones saying, hey, my parents or grandparents are great for saving me. They don't really care. But the trust funds that I think do work are those like education, where you save money for your kids or grandkids to go to college. They look back and they appreciate that. And trust funds that, like the Wildlife Trust Fund that would preserve Wyoming. And I think we're all the same goal here in the legislature. We all like Wyoming how it is right now. Sure, not from the social problems, but the natural environment we live in, I mean, I think that's, we're really all arguing on all sides of the same coin. And this bill, it's not just the wildlife, as we often hear, it's the wildlife and natural resource. And what this money would do is protect our state in many ways from development. And we're going to develop. I know it's, I think it's going to happen sometime. I'm waiting for it. But when it does, we're going to be losing this habitat. And if we need to buy some land, protect it from, you know, getting a skyscraper on it and have the state manage it so we can have some wildlife and have our children and grandchildren enjoy what we have now, then I don't have a problem with it. And I know there's a private land dispute on people should be able to do what they want with the public property, and that's fine. But there's going to come a day when we're going to look back and say, we needed to do this. And I hope the day comes where we've done this and we can say, look, we still have what Wyoming was 50 years ago. And so when I'm a grandparent, I can tell my kids, you know, I've left the same for you guys as I had. But I'm not going to be up here, and I'm not saying that me being representative of the next generation of Wyomingites, generation or two generations from some of you, I really don't want your charity. I mean, I know all of your mindsets are that we need to save money for the future, and 4x10, and we could do 5x10 if we're really ambitious. But 5-6 years from now, we're going to have a heck of a bunch of money and still all the problems that we currently have now. And I'm not saying that health insurance reform or any other problem, they're problems, and I would love to be giving money to all of those. But this is what's on the table this year, right now. This is what our state wants, this is what they've asked for, and this is our first step we can go towards to being progressive and doing something for our constituents and benefiting not only our current population, but those for years to come. I just can't see why any of you would argue against this, and maybe that's my young, naive, idealistic mindset. But gosh darn it, I like having it. And so I would ask to kill the amendment, vote for this bill, do something positive for Wyoming's future. There's a lot more we need to get done, but this is what's before us. And let's do it while we have the chance. Thank you.
Representative Powers. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Against the amendment for the bill, and it's kind of hard for me to do that. I believe that $15 million is probably more than we need to spend on this topic. The reason that I think that we should do something is because I was on the TRW committee for one term, and the people that I feel sorry for are the hunters and the fishermen in this state. They have been carrying the total load of the wildlife for as long as I can remember. They've been paying the bills, they've been supporting the fish and game, they've been taking care of many, many non-game species. They've had to pay for prairie dogs, jumping mice, black-footed ferrets, grizzly bears, and soon they'll be paying for the wolves when the federal government backs out of it. The fishermen and the hunters have had to carry that whole load along with the ranchers and the private property owners. They have been carrying the load. So I think this $15 million that we're setting aside in this and setting up this trust is probably more than the state needs to put up. And it will be time for the conservationists, the people who criticize us continually and beat upon us like we're some kind of raving maniacs if you're a hunter. I think it's time for those conservationist groups to step up to the plate and donate to this trust fund. They can put some money in there. If $15 million, they don't think that's enough, instead of criticizing us in the paper, why don't they put in the paper, we have put up millions of dollars to help the wildlife in Wyoming. It's time for them to put up or shut up. I agree with my good friend and representative from Fort Laramie. He has says that there is a problem with predators. the environment, for the most part, the drought not included, and we're always going to have hard winters that's going to kill wildlife. I don't care if we have a hard winter, they die. The wheat, it cleans out the wheat. It's just in fact, it cleans it out a lot of the people from the state of Wyoming. They say, boy, I don't like those winters, and so they move. That's probably sometimes the reason we only have 500,000 people in this state is because of our hard winters. So it separates the wheat from the chaff or the wheat from the straw. Anyway, I agree with my good representative from Fort Laramie in that we have too many predators. I would like this bill a whole bunch better if we could put a special section in this bill that we would call the 1080 section. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Warren.
Mr. Speaker, pro tem, I'm speaking against the amendment in favor of the bill. There is a point after which, you know, there's no more to say, and we can kind of reach a battle fatigue here, but my concern is that we don't let this bill go because we're getting tired and the day is getting late. It's really important to support this. A couple of things I wanted to mention that have been addressed earlier in questions. When you think about Wyoming, wildlife is really our identity. This is a very, very important priority. Some young people in the United States grow up and they never see wildlife. They grow up and they see concrete. This is part of what we're going to have in the future that's going to bring people here to see. It's really important that we have funded a lot of the other needs. We can't fund everything completely every year, but we've funded a lot. We funded the cities, we funded the community enhancement, we funded Department of Health and other budgets. You look at the overall budget we have. This is about balance. There isn't any other funding allocation for this particular endeavor, and if this endeavor were not so complex, it wouldn't be such a long bill. This is not just a simple undertaking. It's a very complex undertaking that has been in development for many years, I think for 20 or 30 years. There has been a drought. That's one reason why we need this. But this is about vision. And when you look at some of the questions brought up earlier about, you know, what about doctors in the state? One reason doctors and young people and professionals are coming to Wyoming is because of our environment. They can live in their house and they can work on the internet. They don't need all the city, but what they want is open spaces. What they want is to see the antelope outside. The question was earlier mentioned, or the sentence was quoted, that pretty soon we're going to have an antelope in every corner and a duck in every pond. You know, there are people that would dream to have that in our country. They don't have that. They may wake up in the morning and they see concrete outside. How we put those ducks out there and where we put the antelope, that's part of our planning. A question was asked earlier about, is this necessary? Well, you know, a couple of years ago, we passed this infrastructure authority, which is about electrical generation. Is that necessary? I think that's what we do when we come down here. We decide what is necessary. And wildlife is one of our necessary resources. Also, a comment was made about earmarking. And I think that's something else that we do. Our entire budget is earmarking. We decide different departments, we decide different programs, and we decide how to fund what we fund. Everything, to some degree, is earmarking. What this is about is, what do we choose? What are our priorities? And I think this is about our identity, and it is about our future. And in this late hour of the day, let's not lose sight of a really important fund and a really important bill, and that is our Wildlife Trust Fund. Thank you.
Representative Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Speaker pro tem. Management of endangered and threatened species is expensive. It's continually increasing and currently paid for with revenue, as pointed out from the hunters and fishermen's license sales, as pointed out from my good colleague from Southwest Wyoming. The feeling is that the general public should share in some of the responsibility for protecting non-game species. The Department of the Wildlife desperately needs alternative revenue sources to manage Wyoming's wildlife for Wyoming citizens, as pressure on habitat continually increases from rural and residential development and escalating national resource. The funding would be available to the Game and Fish and to the Department of Ag, to mention but a few agencies.
And the question came up continually, what will the bill do? Promote, preserve, and enhance the unique wildlife and environmental tradition of Wyoming and its people. This is to help take the burden off the hunters and anglers in Wyoming who are now paying the majority of wildlife-related programs and habitat management. And wildlife extends to all people in the state. On and against the amendment, on and for the bill.
Representative Eichel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I feel like this is a Thanksgiving event, and the whole family all across the United States was asked to come because they are family events. And everybody's cooking the food and shooting the turkeys and cooking them, and all of a sudden, it's called off. We don't believe in Thanksgiving. Our family doesn't anymore. And I don't have a Thanksgiving event to go to. What have we been doing here? This act has been worked on long and hard, and I've been on the interim committee, and I've heard this being talked about during this whole last year. It's changed some, but it still has within it the consensus that was reached by hard work between several major coalitions. The interim committee work organized the various approaches into the roots of this act. And then think about the public support that we had. I think I've said this before, but if so, I apologize. I received more messages on this, a proliferation of messages, more than for the lottery, more than for e-bingo or bingo, more than for the prison. I would look on my screen, and in several days in a row, if I let it scroll down, because I hadn't looked at it for an hour and a half, half of the things were on Senate File 41. Let's not let this slip through our fingers. Did we put all this work into it because it's been an inferior bill? I can't believe that. Matter of fact, when we first had the long amendments, I think 15 amendments, one of the conversations that I had, or many of the conversations I had with a number of people, were that, wow, you know, this, we're trying to shape this bill because it seems to be a good idea. That's what I see has happened. What's been done in the House and the Senate has been to find the best balance for an initiative that's worth a lot of focus in order to do it well. We're doing something here that was conceived 20-some years ago, and we have validated the importance of this by our very willingness to attend to it so deeply and seriously. So I guess I'm talking about a process that I don't want to have it be wasted, although it's our right to do that. It is. The game and fish has been a huge concern for us for years, and I've been in on that for 5 years. Here we are, able to do something about wildlife and some of our natural resources, which in one indirect way does have some impact on avoiding the game and fish being supported by anything but fees and permit revenues. And I think that's an important thing. It has been for me. This does not go directly to the game and fish, but it helps immensely with what they are charged with. And if we can punch away at that, we can avoid what seems to be coming down the tracks, whenever that will be, a decade or so from now. In a meeting in Beulah 2 years ago with our interim committee, we were told that it's a major priority to do something about habitat, and here we have a chance. We need to get the fund started and the structure established. There's no question but what I was very concerned about the land acquisition. That it's in here doesn't make me want to resist this bill. I think it still can be studied further, and I'm comfortable with the ways in which it's been approached in this bill. Do we spend then this much effort on a bill that deserves to be thrown out? Do we feel guilty because we can begin something about this and we're not able to do something about other matters that are dear to my heart, like our health care crisis, our Med-Mal crisis, or whatever you want to call it? I don't believe we've done enough about certain things, but when we can do something, we're piecemealing things. We can't do something about everything at the same time. we'll be able to punch away at it, and right now we're punching away at this, and it's very important on and for the bill.
Representative Gay.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. We need to all ask ourselves, what does Wyoming do better than any other place on earth? Wyoming is home to more antelope than the whole rest of the earth's population of antelope. More of them live here than any other place. Have any of you ever been to Florida and seen a wild elk? Anybody seen a mule deer in Tennessee? No. There are no bighorn sheep in Alabama. They live here because this place is unique. Wildlife is one of the few things that Wyoming does better than any other place. We produce oil. I've stood in this country in the Middle East and put my foot on a pipe. It came out of the ground. It was called Abcake Number 1. The first well they found there produces 100,000 barrels of oil. We produce 40,000 in this whole state. We are not the world's best oil producer. I've seen the cornfields in Illinois. They're going to produce more corn in one county of Illinois than we are in our entire state. You ever been to a cattle ranch in Texas? Ever seen an alfalfa field in Missouri? We're not the best in the world at a lot of these things, but we are gifted with wildlife, a gift that came from our Creator. And this bill is our chance to nurture that gift and remain in our unique position with this wildlife. That's why I support this bill and oppose this amendment. Thank you.
Representative Miley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Neither on, for, or against the bill, I would feel much more comfortable voting on this bill if I had a sense from this body of what they feel about trust funds. I voted against the trust funds and the Appropriations Committee, and is that something that we want to do, or do we want to go through the budget process? Again, I'd certainly feel a lot better about this bill if I had that answered by this body. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative Miley. Mr. Speaker.
Thank you all. Thank you, Mr. Speaker, for attempt speaking for the bill and against the amendment. Members of the House, this is what you get paid to do. And today you're earning your money. This is the kind of debate that we, one would hope would have on all bills, but then in reality we would end up probably passing six bills, which may not be a bad thing, but you'll know that it was fully discussed. What I heard in the last hour or so were reasons why we shouldn't pass this bill, and some of the reasons were, and I might paraphrase some, we don't like the way cities and towns were treated. We don't like the way health care was treated. We don't like the way maybe residential property owners were treated. We don't like the way certain sales tax exemptions went for other groups. Is that the reason to vote no on this bill? We also heard that maybe we didn't like some things the other body did. As we all read from Mason, so that's not a reason to vote for or against a measure. I'd like to take just a minute and tell you why I think we should vote for this bill. This is a bill that I think deals, again, not only with our present, but our future. Wyoming is not the same place it was a generation ago. In many ways it's better, many ways it isn't. But one of the things we do know is that the impacts upon our state are continuing to increase. We've taken great joy in the fact that we've been one of two, maybe three states that's actually started our budget process with a projected surplus. We're proud of that. We love that. But with that does come a price. With that comes another oil well. With that comes a few gas wells. With that comes more people moving to the state. More people moving not inside necessarily the city limits, but trying to buy ranchettes outside the city limits because they want what so many people in Wyoming have been able to have, a decent-sized acreage with a house, put a horse on it, and you might be able to see a deer and an antelope once in a while on your property. But with each of those, so does the impact increase.
And that's one of the things that I believe we need to be thinking about as we think about this bill. The wildlife in our state is in great shape, most of it. You know how I feel about certain predators. I would just as soon not have them here. I would do everything I can to not have them here. But I think as long as we are going to have to put up with them, and I hope, and realistically, we probably will have to put up with them, hopefully in smaller numbers in the near future. But we still need to work with those areas that do exist for our wildlife. We need to look towards those areas that are currently under pressure. In many areas of the state, and I'll say this is in the western side of the state, people are selling their farms, which they have every right to do. Heaven knows, 10 years, I'll probably be headed for the, you know, first of the list to sell it. But they're selling it for $5,000 an acre, $6,000 an acre. Those are not going to be lands that's kept in agricultural production. No one can afford to farm if you're going to pay $5,000 an acre. That will also give you an idea of the wealth of the people that's moving into the state. Those are going to be developments. And with every acre of agriculture that we lose, that's another acre of open space we lose. That's another acre that of wildlife habitat that our private landowners have helped preserve. We would not have the wildlife we do if it weren't for the efforts of the private landowners. We also are dealing with several diseases: whirling disease, chronic wasting disease, brucellosis disease. All of that affects our wildlife. So far, we don't have an answer for those diseases as well. I believe this trust fund, and I will address the trust fund in a minute, I believe this bill and the concept will help enable us to keep looking for answers. Certainly with brucellosis, it's going to be clear that we are either going to have to depopulate our wildlife herds or depopulate our domestic agricultural herds, neither of which I find acceptable as an answer. But the answer probably lies in vaccination of both and also increasing the buffer zones during the areas when brucellosis is most likely to be spread. I believe this bill can assist us in that goal. We've talked a lot about the bill itself. Again, I am very proud that the House has worked on this bill like we have. I think this is a great bill. I think it's a marvelous bill. We have provided legislative oversight. We have provided that fee title acquisition does not occur. We have provided that if you are a private landowner, and this should be a right of a private landowner, that should that private landowner want to donate land, they should be able to do so. It may never be my choice, but we shouldn't take that right away from a private landowner. We have provided a good start to a trust fund. The question asked, what is our philosophy on trust fund? And I would tell you that it's not, our philosophy on trust fund is just like every other issue we deal with. Some are going to garner enough votes this year. Some won't. Some trust funds are going to gain in popularity over the years. Some won't. It's just like every issue we deal with. Our inconsistency is the reason we have a legislature, so that we can listen to constituents. That's why we have elections every 2 years, so we can hopefully follow what our constituents would want us to say, as well as maybe be thrown out of office if we don't. Frankly, I've also heard that because the federal government, with its projects and its land, is doing a good job, I don't trust them. 50% of Wyoming, approximately, and it can be from 52 to 48 to 54, is federally owned. I don't want to depend upon the federal government to provide the habitat and resource necessary to preserve and keep our wildlife and habitat. I have just not found them to always be trustful and wise neighbors. They often do bring us gifts from north that causes more problems, certainly, than it's worth. Again, members of the House, I would urge you to reject the House, or reject the, not reject the House, this is getting late, reject the amendment, support this bill, and because of what the House has done with it, I probably would not be giving the same speech had we not made the changes we did. We have a right to be absolutely and proud of this work. I commend the House for its efforts. I urge its continued support on this bill.
Chairman Childers.
Mr. Speaker pro tem, against the amendment and for the bill, you know, as a chairman, as some of the other leadership in both on this end and the other end, I could have taken the easy way out on this. You probably heard lots of horror stories, or maybe not horror stories, maybe some of them were good stories about the windows being open and pieces of paper fluttering out the window with bill names on them, and I could have taken that route. But I chose not to do that. You know, my experience over the last 10 or 15 years is in this area. And I think, quite frankly, I know a lot about it. This is a wildlife, and as it says, Natural Resource Funding Act. In a lot of ways, it is a habitat bill. You know, we talked about helping lots of other folks, and why should we do this? We do help the community. Look at the Business Ready Communities issue. We do help the kids. We've got lots of money flowing into education. Do we help people in the agriculture industry? Challenge loans, water development. Do we help people on health issues? Without a doubt. And from the day that I came down here, and actually even before that, the good representative that sits to my left and actually sitting in my chair right now, he and I worked with some previous legislators, and we've got some good legislation on the book when it gets involved in where more than half the land is in this state. It's in federal hands. We're involved in the federal process. We push and push hard for the state and local governments to get involved in that process. We even passed a few years ago, and we're in the process of suing the federal government about the way they handle things, and the good speaker just talked about one of those. There's lots of ways that we are improving to help the citizens of this state and the communities to make a better life. This is just one issue of many that we're going to be handling. And I want you to remember, the way this bill came over to here, there's no way that I'd be standing up here and saying I support this bill. However, as we amended it, I'm going to stand up here and tell you we support this bill. One thing, we aren't winding up with more federal land in the way of purchasing. Yes, people have the right to donate. That's in the bill. We have checks and balances in here. It's a lot more complicated bill than it was before, but it should be. We're using public money to address a number of the issues. And when it comes to the agriculture industry, there's at least one lobbyist that's been talking to me for a number of years, that this issue started before he was a lobbyist, that he couldn't even clean out the ponds on his place, and working hard with the federal agencies and being able to do this. This bill will allow us to do that because it's improving habitat for wildlife, but it's improving habitat for stock. I worked for many years on produced water issues. And for the minerals industry, there's a lot more habitat in this state than there used to be because of that produced water. And I'm not even talking about the Powder River Basin. I'm talking about other parts of the state. This bill is a compromise. Until this compromise was done, for the last 20 years, this bill was dead on the vine. No way that it was ever going to come through. It's helping the sportsmen. It's helping the agriculture industry. It's helping the minerals industry. It's helping lots of other folks. And I really urge you to seriously think about the way this bill is as we're finishing up in the House. perfect bill? No way. But however, it's a much better bill than we had before, and it's a good compromise, and I urge you to vote for this bill. And I think we can get a good compromise with the Senate if you vote for this bill. Don't inform the bill against the amendment.
I have to share something about the Speaker Pro Tem before I recognize him. Whoever is here normally would write down the names of people as they speak so we can keep track, rather than not you've spoken once. And I had a list of about 10, and then I see the Speaker Pro Tem took over, wrote down a couple of names, and then just finally wrote everybody. So, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I guess I'm the everybody. The last one, I think this is 21 or 22, as I went through, on and against the amendment and for the bill, ladies and gentlemen. We have embraced this concept in the past, and we have passed it on this floor. This is nothing new. Neither are the arguments against it and the general philosophical arguments, but realistically, the legislature doesn't operate the way that if we don't meet all people's needs, we don't do anything else. We don't operate that way. We jump around. We do different things. It depends on what our constituents want at a particular time that might drive us to sponsor a bill, and who knows how that might take off. But this concept's been around a long time, and it's time to do something positive with it. In my county, I have lots of constituents who rely on their lives, their business lives, on wildlife and natural resources. And this bill can help them. And I am confident that the things that we have done to this bill in the House give us a good degree of comfort that it will operate and operate at least in a way that we have control over, some degree of control over it, and if it doesn't work, we can come back and amend it. We've got the hunting, the fishing, the tourism, those things are all very important to my constituencies and my counties. But look what's happening to Yellowstone Park. Look what's happening to some of the other parks. The wildlife, that the private landowners are bearing the burden of wildlife in this state. And the license holders have been bearing the burden of funding those. It's time to broaden that concept and do some different things in this area. What else have we funded that you might question? What's more important, the territorial prison or wildlife and natural resources? Old school buildings and communities that might enhance your community and allow you to have community events, or wildlife and natural resources that might bring people to your communities to fill up those buildings? Why do we have the business council to promote tourism if there's nothing to come and see other than possibly Devil's Tower and Yellowstone Park geysers? They come to see wildlife. $8 million to cloud seed. Now, we make priorities and we pursue them every day in this body. But it is time to broaden our scope here and let's take a broad step forward. Open space in Park County on the North Fork Corridor. I'm sure a lot of you have driven from Cody to Yellowstone Park. But when they modified the North Fork Highway, there was $400,000 put up for mitigation of the loss of the land that went along the shoulders of the road. And we spent, I think, 2.5 years trying to figure out how we could spend $400,000 to help mitigate that impact. And it wasn't until the Game and Fish decided that maybe that should go to a grass bank where you can take cattle off the range and bring it to the grass bank, until people really paid attention to that issue and got it redirected back to the North Fork, where they actually acquired conservation easements in an elk migration corridor. We've got all kinds of issues like that in northwestern Wyoming. And now we have a proposed subdivision in the bottom of the North Fork Valley, about 20 miles out of town, that's 200 lots. And people say to themselves, well, how can this be happening? Well, it's happened because we haven't been nearly as progressive as some of our neighbors in Montana and Wyoming. Some counties have been very progressive, and some of those states have too, where they actually use public funds to acquire development rights that can preserve and maintain open space. It is time to step up to this, and let's go ahead and pass this. $15 million in the scope of things. Had we put that in 20 years ago, what would it be worth today? It would be worth a great deal, and hopefully we would have some great things to show for it. Let's pass this bill.
Anyone else for their first time? First time, second time? Second time? Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm going to tell you why you don't want to vote for this bill. Mr. Speaker, I support and recognize the special state of wildlife, game, hunting traditions in Wyoming. And I know all you do, too. You know, it's a special thing in Wyoming. It's wonderful to go out there and see those. I enjoy watching the animals as much as I used to hunt them. I really haven't hunted for 15 years. But I stop all the time when I see the sage grouse out there, especially in the springtime when they're doing their strutting. That's a special event. We all enjoy that. However, this bill does nothing for those traditions, and in fact is another step on the path of government ownership of more of Wyoming. Do we really want that? Why don't we focus the bill on to help the wildlife in Wyoming, not to create the percent of government land in Wyoming, whether it's state land or federal land? I cannot support this bill. I cannot accept more government land in Fremont County. We have over 85% of our surface estate in Fremont County owned by the government. Over 90% of the mineral rights in our county are owned by the government. I just don't think it's right for us to have more government-owned land in Fremont County. If the government doesn't allow us access to those lands, frankly, we don't have an economy in Fremont County. And many of the other counties in this state are exactly like Fremont County. I have a letter from the Fish and Game that states this bill was not proposed by the Game and Fish Department. So who proposed this bill? Was it studied in a select committee? We all received lots of emails. I received four from my community. The vast majority of them have been from areas outside my community. And they all sound great. They all sound like concerned citizens wanting to support wildlife. How can you not support wildlife? Well, I support wildlife. That's why I'm up here speaking. I don't think this is a wildlife bill. No, I plugged these names I got in my emails into the computer, did some searches trying to figure out who some of these people were. And frankly, like 80 or 90% of them were people with some interest in what's going on here. At least one was a game and fish guy. One, I guess we can't mention names here, but one was a board member of the Blank Wildlife Foundation. Several university professors. One was had a commendation for being the outstanding activist for the Wyoming Blank Council. One was the chair of the Pebble Mountain Foundation, Elk Foundation. One was vice president of a big international club that does use of, you would think of a hunting. And finally, the last one was from the president of a blank society, and it was received this morning. He used the Jonah Field as an example of lost opportunities while quoting President Kennedy. I thought this was way over the top. I think this gentleman and the others who were thinking like him just don't get it. The development of the Jonah Field has created enormous opportunities for Wyoming. You know, the last two sessions we've been down here spending literally billions of dollars of extra money. Thank God for the Jonahs. You know, do you want to really stop things like that? If we had listened to him 5 years ago, we wouldn't have the Jonah Field. And that's just an example of some of the emails, and I bet yours are the same. Earlier today, we had a friend on this floor, one of us, who described this existing bill as a bureaucratic nightmare.
I agree. Let me see. We had the number of amendments on this bill. The Senate had 13 amendments. They were rather reasonable. We had a substitute bill and two standing committee amendments out of the committee. We had 14 amendments on committee of the whole, 11 amendments on second reading, and 5 amendments on third reading. That's 45 amendments. I think that's a record for this year. Is this legislation really ready for the people of Wyoming? You know, think about it. You know, the concept's great. Frankly, the money bothers me not at all. If we, you know, if we have the $50 million to put in this, just put $50 million into it to help wildlife in Wyoming. But I don't think this is the right bill for that. Are we ready for this legislation? No. Have we studied the problem of declining game animals in Wyoming? No. Will adding more open space in counties where the government already owns 85 or 90% of the land help save our wildlife? No. The answer, you know, this is a bad solution looking at a real problem. And we really need to think about this. Mr. Chairman, or Mr. Speaker, I'll withdraw my amendment.
That objection, amendment number 2 to third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 41 is withdrawn. Question is, Senate File 41, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the House? Assistant Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Anderson. Bagby. Barnard. Berger. Brechtel. Brown. Buchanan. Buchholz. Childers. Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Davison. Dirks excuse. Oh, Dirks. Dirks. Aye. Edwards. Esquivel. Yay. Gilmore. Gingrey. Goggles. Hageman. Hammonds. Harshman. Harvey. Pastor. Hinckley. Eichel. Illaway. Jackson. Jones. Jorgensen excused. Landon. Latta. Latta. Lockhart. Lubno. Martin. Nicomi. Miley. Miller. Morgan. Olson. Osborne. Peterson. Peterson. Belt. Powers. Korber. Mr. Minority Floor Leader. Robinson. Samuelson. Semlich. Semlich. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Slater. Thompson. Walsh. Warren. Wasserberger. Watt. White. Zuanitzer. Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Latta.
Excused.
Latta excused. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Love no. No to aye. Are there any other changes? Vote is closed. 44 aye, 14 no, 2 excused.
Senate File 41, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of those elected to the House, Senate File 41 has passed the House. Members of the House, I appreciate your patience, but we do need to do some signing of enrolled acts so that they can get, including the budget act, so we can get it down on the governor's desk. First enrolled act for our consideration is Senate Enrolled Act 88.
Senate Enrolled Act 88 being original Senate File 129, an act relating to crimes and offenses regarding voyeurism.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 88, being original Senate File 129. I have so signed. Next enrolled act is 89.
Senate Bill Act No. 89 being original Senate File No. 99, an act relating to the Wyoming Investment and Nursing Loan and Grant Program.
About to sign Senate Enrolled Act No. 89 being original Senate File 99. I have so signed. Next enrolled act is number 90.
Senate Enrolled Act No. 90 being original Senate File No. 1, an act relating to supplemental appropriations for the operation of state government.
About to sign Enrolled Act No. 90, which is original Senate File 1. I have so signed. Committee announcements. Committee announcements. Vice Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your Select Committee on Tribal Relations will meet tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock in room S16 to discuss interim topic projects.
Chairman Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, will meet with the Senate Committee number 10 immediately upon adjournment in H17 to consider interim topics.
The Chairman's Committee meeting scheduled for this evening will be postponed until a later day. Conference Committee 4, Senate File 121, Repeal of Term Limits. Anderson Chair, Illaway, Reese. Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I wanted to thank all of those who sent in checks and those who sent in notices that they were not going to be able to participate. I'm going to leave the opportunity open for one more day.
Thank you, Chairman Lockhart. You are persistent of anything. Chairman Phelps.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 2 appropriations will meet tomorrow morning, Tuesday, March 1st. At 8 a.m. in room 204, and we will meet as the Joint Appropriations Committee to discuss interim topics.
Thank you, Chairman Phelps. The Management Audit Committee will meet tomorrow upon adjournment. I believe it's room 302, but double-check the announcement, which will be posted outside. Any other announcements? Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that truly clears the desk.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm reminded that there's more than one reason why we don't hear bills on second and third reading the same day.
Yes.
With that, we are adjourned until tomorrow morning, Tuesday, March 1st at 10 a.m.
I'll do it. You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed say no. Motion carries. House is adjourned till 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Okay, now.